Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Coming to the special edition of Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find us on the Patriot Journalist Network at www.patriotjournalist.com. And also today, thank you very much. We did play the theme song a little longer than normal, so I think pretty much everything said in the song is very pertinent today, especially with being shoulder to shoulder, as we need to do on this day, this national day of protest against amnesty and border search. And today we're looking to hear from our panelists, Dan Gray and also Cindy Todd, and later we will have in James Neighbors as well. And we will have Cindy and Dan on the line now. I know Cindy and them are getting ready to leave from their spot, so we want to get a report from them. And also, if you're out there listening to the show, you'd like to give a report on your protest today, just give us a call at 347-945-7428. And Cindy, I've got you on the line. Thank you for calling in. How are things going?
Hello?
Are you there? It's
yes,
going to be.
Are.
Are you there? Okay, you're going to. It's going to be
here.
Real loud. It's going to be loud because we're on the overpass.
Not a
so,
problem.
Okay, well, I'm here with a couple of people that are left. Most of us have gone already. They were here from 8:30 this morning.
Got it.
The people I was with yesterday, stayed around till 2:30, and they had 25 to 30 people there. It was an awesome rally. We had two guys from the DOT drive up and tell us we weren't allowed to attach our signs to the gate, the fence in any way, which had never been told to us before. And a sheriff came by and gave us the okay, said, okay, you guys are doing okay, but you have to follow what the DOT says. And so those things have never been said to us before. We've never had any press before, and two TV stations came and covered it. Fox, the local Fox
awesome.
Station covered it, and they were on yesterday morning and yesterday afternoon at 5 o'clock. And so they got a lot of publicity ahead of time also, and so that's why the sheriff's office and the DOT already knew that we were coming. And so, you know, we're happy about that, and everything went fine, and we haven't been accosted at all today on the bridge. So we're having a great time, but I have some people here if you want to hear from them.
Oh, yeah, certainly. We certainly do. That's why we're doing the show today, because we want to hear people, and they can share their experiences across America.
Okay, well, tell us,
tell us where you're calling
name.
From. You're in Florida, right?
What, honey? Yeah, we're in Daytona Beach, Florida. You hear that? The beeping going
yes,
on?
Yes, it is.
Got
it.
My sign says, honk for no amnesty, and we're getting all kinds of honks. Now, this is, what's your name again, hon?
Chelena Martin.
She's from Daytona Beach.
South Daytona Beach,
okay. And she's going to tell you why she's here.
Great.
Hello?
Hello. Thank you very much for coming to the show. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Doing great. Go ahead. The mic is yours.
I'm sorry, sir. You have to speak up. I can barely hear you.
That's great. I said, go ahead.
Well, the reason we're out here is to try and get people to realize we need to stand up and do something to protect our borders, our American way of life, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that is earned and not given. My father, my grandfather, my greats going way back, we all fought for America, trying to keep what we believe in to be the best nation in the entire world on solid ground. And unfortunately, the past 6 years have been a nightmare. And our government is trying to destroy what rights we do have left. Discontent within our people, tearing a nation apart. I would just like to see people join together more and get on the bandwagon and stop our borders from being crossed illegally. Save our nation. For our kids, their future. That's about all I have to say.
Well, thank you very much. And it definitely was heartfelt. I could hear it in your voice.
Pardon me?
I said it was definitely heartfelt. I can hear the tonations in your voice. You know, how
well,
much that definitely means to you. You're welcome. So thank you very much. And keep out there.
Thank you. You want me to give you to someone else who's here?
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, hang on.
All right, thank you.
My name is Roger Martin. With my wife, you spoke to her host, Perry. adamant about supporting our country.
Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that's why we're out here today. We're just trying to make a difference, trying to change the direction of our country, or at least trying to change the president's mind about what he's doing to our country.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the biggest things that I'm trying to convey here to everyone.
Yeah, certainly. We, you know, that's go ahead.
No, what'd you say?
Well, we certainly, that's, you know, what we want to bring folks together here on the show all across America to show that, you know, folks, we're out there, we're not alone, we spread, we're not just in little pockets here and there in the country. This is something that's going on, you know, everywhere. Whether you're on
yeah,
the border state or not, we see what's happening to our country.
Oh, that's already affecting us now in several ways. What surprises me is how they're using the Christian churches are actually participating in this and they're receiving funds from the federal government to do all this kind of activity.
It's funny they only use the separation of church and state, the federal government, when they see it best serve them, right?
Yeah, well, it seems it's kind of selective.
Exactly. They want to keep the Ten Commandments out of schools and things of that nature, but when they want to promote their own agenda, then it's okay for them to, couple themselves up with the church.
Yeah. You know, you kind of broke up on me this last part. Let me go ahead and let you turn you back over here.
Hey, Robert,
okay.
I got one more lady here that wants to say
sure,
something.
Certainly.
And what's your name again? I'm Judy Schubert from Daytona Beach. So here she is.
What's his name? Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Hello.
I didn't get your first name. Your first name again?
It's Judy. Judy.
Judy. Okay. I thought I heard that, but I wanted to make sure. Thank you. Hold on, Judy. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. Well, I'm here. Of course, immigration is the number one issue, but I've written actually 8 pages of all of the allegations, about Obama. And I think that all of this fits into the Agenda 21, which is the New World Order. And so I oppose that. I oppose every order, every directive, every code that has been written that directly is in pleading this New World Order. So I'm here actually just, representing that I am opposed to all of the directives, and I have 8 pages of them. My biggest concern is the president signing directive. It's 3025.18, and this is the directive that he himself signed, giving where he can give orders to kill Americans upon when he deems civil unrest. And if he isn't available, he's also appointed his military commandos to do the same upon civil unrest. And then, of course, another thing, of course, is a top priority, is the new bill that they're putting in with the Clean Water Act. I don't have the actual numbers now, but they have come in and redid the Clean Water Act to include that even a small puddle of water that after a rain, that they will own it. The government will own that property. And it's just a hidden way for them to come in and not only control all the water, but to steal all of our property. So, yes, I absolutely am here because I oppose all of these directives, all of these codes, and all of these laws that they are passing, secret and we don't know about. So, impeach Obama, arrest Obama. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just gonna say, we've done shows here where we've covered Agenda 21 and had speakers on that. So, folks, when you get the link to the show, you can also check out the archives where we've had shows about Agenda 21 and Common Core, both on the show. So, go ahead, Judy.
I'm not sure that I even heard the filtering of all this noise. I'm kind of losing you.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I'm not sure. I can't even hardly hear him. I'm going to give you back.
Okay.
Hey, Robert.
I heard her well. She may have not. Yeah, I heard her great. She sounded great. It's just that she might not have heard me. That's all.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise here under the bridge. There's people beeping and cars going under.
Great.
it's an awesome place to be.
And that's what's important.
Well, it's an awesome place to be, and you know, all the people that listen to this blog talk show, whether you're in. You're on right now live, or whether you're in the chat, or whether you listen in archive, you need to get involved. You need to activate and get involved in the Overpasses for America movement. If not that one, get into a 912 or get into any Numbers USA. You know, go join something and plug in somewhere and let them use your time and your talent and your intellect to pass the word around. We have got to educate some low-information voters before it's too late. And unfortunately, as we're watching these cars going to the underpass, I'm saying we got an excellent percentage of cars that are beeping at us. Or waving, or whatnot, you know. Only a couple have flipped us the middle finger. So, you know, at least if they disagree, they're being quiet about it. But the thing is, you look at all the cars that are going under that don't have any reaction, and you're wondering to yourself, are they even registered to vote? You know, how many people are driving under this overpass today? And they have no clue what's going on because all they watch on TV is reality shows and movies or whatever, you know, sports. And they have no idea what's going on in their nation. And, you know, even we who try our best to stay involved, I mean, stay informed, you know, going to the internet and, you know, all different TV stations and, you know, Drudge Report and Breitbart and, you know, just all those people and all the organizations that we're a member of, you know, Survivor Joe and Numbers USA and, I mean, they're just, they go on. And we have all this information being disseminated out to us. These guys that are driving underneath of this overpass, they're not getting any of that information. They have no idea why I have this sign up here in the first place. They're like, what does that mean? You know, I haven't interviewed anybody to where they say that. I'm just saying the fact that they're sitting there in their car and they're not reacting in any way, shape, or form tells me they just don't know what's going on, or they're in agreement with Obama, one or the other. But anyway, it's a great experience. Y'all need to get out, get involved, get activated. James has started an awesome thing going here. This is an awesome movement. It's growing leaps and bounds. Like I said, we had 25 to 30 yesterday. There's probably 15 to 20 today. And, you know, people are getting the information. Just while the other lady was talking to you on the phone, a guy on a motorcycle drove by here and asked me how he could get involved. And I gave him the 04A website. And so he is going to come and help us next time we have one. I told him how to get on the Facebook page and everything. So we got us some new people. He's a Democrat. He's been out here both days. He was out here with me both days, Graves and Dunn Avenue. And we had the longest conversation about the things that he used to vote for and used to the people he used to vote for. He used to always vote Democrat. Anyway, if he remembers, he'll be calling in later on. So you can look for a 386 area code. He said sometimes his number comes up different, weird numbers. So anyway, look for another call to come in later.
And we do have a Skype caller, and if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial. And just to give folks a little head up about this Wednesday's show, this Wednesday we'll have one of the organizers coming on this that's coming up Wednesday, and that, I think that'll be great to see and hear from him. He's going to give us an update on that, and so we'll be having him on.
Okay, well, I'm pretty much
Paul
done
Arnold.
With my reporting.
Think, Let me think of his name. Paul Arnold. He was one of the, one of the organizers for the, you know, especially you've seen him on Facebook. He'll be on this Wednesday evening talk about the weekend.
Great, great. That'll be great. Well, I'm pretty much done with my reporting. Just look for that guy to call. He's an awesome Democrat that he is now seeing the light. He said he's probably going to vote Republican this election because he sees the difference now. I mean, it's obvious his party left him. He didn't leave the party. He hasn't left his party. His party left him. And basically, that's kind of how I'm feeling about some of the Republicans right now. They've left me. The only reason I'm still there is because I know there's still good Republicans in there, like Ted Cruz and Sessions and my own Representative Ron DeSantis. And, oh, like I told you yesterday, I talked for an hour with a vet, a retired vet from Afghanistan. He was injured in the war and is partially disabled. And he's going to tell us his story about what's going on with the VA and him. And he gave me some information about Afghanistan and other places and other things that totally flipped me out. I had no idea. And so I'm hoping I'm going to get him to call in Wednesday night or some Wednesday night anyway, so that you can hear his story because it's really awesome. Wonderful guy. Awesome man. Anyway, that's all I had. Put Dan on, see what's going on over there.
All right, well, yep, and we will have Dan on, and I also see that James Neighbors is on the line as well. We'll get him in, too, get a report from him. And then also, yeah, for the folks you did talk to, give them the link so they can listen to the archive later so they can hear the voice of other people. He's been on a lot. I heard somebody honking. That's awesome.
So the trucks are really loud. The truckers are like 90% honking. It's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, and give those other folks a link so that they can hear on the archive the other folks that have called in today, hear other folks' experience.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, I just said, you know, for the folks who are still there and those who came on the line, give them the link to today's show so they could go back and listen to the archive so they can listen to others who called in about it.
Okay,
well, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling in. And
no problem.
I'm sure we'll speak later soon. But at this time,
I'll mute myself so that this noise doesn't bother y'all. There it goes again.
Okay, well, go ahead and just send me a text if you'd like to try back in. But we do have Dan on the line. He's was next to call in and on hold. And then we also have James in. We'll definitely get James in as well. So thank you very much, Dan, for calling in. How are you?
Wow, I'll tell you what, I'm astounded, I'm overwhelmed, and just very briefly, I was supposed to be in New York City this morning. I was supposed to be at the UN building at 1st and 47th, between 42nd and 47th, and events got in the way. I was convinced that that was where I was supposed to be, and God often has other plans for us. In fact, a lot of the people who are out there today in various places across the United States. I mean, there's like 47 spots in Texas that are protesting. There's new ones popping up all the time. Hundreds and hundreds across the country. Every single has got protests going. And a lot of these people did not plan on being there just a couple of days ago, but there they are. Well, I had planned on being live on remote. And something has come up, which is not really the subject of this show, so I'll touch on it briefly and then give you some of the research that I've been doing on this issue. And I want to hear more of that noise out there. I want to hear more of those people calling in. I mentioned on last Wednesday's show that we had a developing situation here in Pennsylvania with a person who has been well-known and pretty well-trusted, who has had a lot of influence, in this case on the militia movement, but in other political realms as well, who has been acting in some odd ways. Well, this leader, this person we've placed our trust in, I'm now gathering the information, and provided I can vet the final pieces, it looks like this leader got himself in some sort of trouble with the federal government and has decided to act as an agent for the federal government to get himself out of trouble. I've got it 90% confirmed so far, And you've all read the stories. You remember Ruby Ridge and Waco and the MOVE disaster in Philly and all these other places where somebody lied as a federal agent to try and get themselves out of trouble with their own legal situation, and people ended up going to jail or getting shot. Well, it looks like something like that's happening here. So the last 12 hours have been extremely unexpected and extremely hectic, so that's why I'm not on location. But this is something that I want everybody to keep in mind. What you said at the very outset of the show, Robert, is absolutely true. Time is short. The statists, they are not backing down. The elites are going for broke. They are pushing in every way possible. They were boiling the frog. Everybody's familiar with that analogy. You leave a frog in a pot, turn the water on, turn it on slow with that heat until it doesn't even realize it, and the next thing you know, it's boiled. Well, there's a guy called Galvani, and he was an Italian scientist in the 1800s, and that's where we get the idea of galvanic shock. He also did experiments with frogs, and he found that even a dead frog, if you apply an electric current to two ends of its leg muscles, the muscles would twitch. That's where we get galvanic shock. And I think that what's going on right now across the United States is a galvanic shock to the system. That people are leaping out of that pot. Those folks that you had on live from the overpass with Cindy, they are stupid. People are not stupid. These are eloquent folks. These are informed folks. And these are folks who have jumped out of the pot, and they are taking others with them. And they're letting everybody else know, we're not going to get everybody. I know Cindy was upset, and I'm still upset that there's a lot of people who aren't aware, they're willfully unaware, they're not going to lead, they're not even going to follow, they're not going to do anything. But the good news isn't that's the normal situation with human beings. They're mostly not going to do those things anyway. The difference is that of the people on the statist side, and I won't even dignify them with the words liberal or progressive because they're really neither. They are statists. They could be calling themselves right-wingers, and they'd be statists. They are people who want government power. They want an oligarchy. They want a monarchy. Call it what you will, but what it is the people enslaved. Those people don't have anything right now except the levers of power, and that's a lot, but they don't have much support. Their supporters, the people who think they believe in those things, aren't really motivated. They are not going to get out and do much, okay? They may do a little, but they won't do a lot, and they can't convince others. So if we get that 3%, and I think we're past that, we're going to have 10 million people. 10 million people who are actually doing something is a hell of a lot more than 305 million people who are doing nothing. All right. And by the way, speaking of numbers, the numbers of illegal aliens in this country, and that's the word, illegal. They are not bad people, all of them. Some of them are, but we have no way of knowing. They are not 11 million. They are not 12 million. The sheer numbers can't be anything less than 35 to 40 million, and it's most likely more. Two-thirds of these alleged children who are coming into the country, and many of them are 17 and older, males, gang members. We have people coming from foreign countries besides Guatemala and El Salvador and Mexico. We have people coming from the Middle East, from the Far East, and we don't know who the hell they are. But two-thirds of these kids are just approved for asylum. In fact, we don't even need to see an amnesty bill passed in the houses of the Senate and the Congress, because using what's called prosecutorial discretion, the president has declared de facto amnesty. He simply won't enforce the law that he is sworn to uphold. What these states going for broke, what they're doing is, and you know, those of you out there who resonate with this crisis, you're absolutely right, and I'm glad. I didn't see that this was going, nobody really saw, except for a few, that this was going to be the latest thing that really, really reached across the boundaries and really drew people up out of their seats and made them act. We didn't see that with Chick-fil-A. We didn't see that with Hobby Lobby. We didn't see that with a lot of these different things, you know, Duck Dynasty, and yet they happened. So I continue to urge people, if this is your issue, go for it. And if it's not your particular issue, support it, but go for the other issue, because the statists are going in every possible way. You mm-hmm. realize what this immigration crisis is doing is it's causing other things to break. There's a health crisis that we have because, unlike Ellis Island, where most of our folks came through, you know, places like that, where they would quarantine you, if you will, with a communicable disease, and they would not allow you to permit you to go into the country until you'd had medical treatment and you were no longer a danger. Well, they're not doing that. They're sending kids and others on common transports, on buses, on planes,
right,
to locations without treatment. Now, there's absolute proof that these kids have some pretty nasty diseases, and it's not that they're sick and they should get treatment. If they're here, you know, treat them and then send them back. I mean, we're not looking to cause illness to spread anywhere, because that's one thing that does not respect borders, and rightly so, which is bacteria and viruses. So that's something where, okay, I'm an internationalist when it comes to that only. But certainly not economy. Now, these kids have scabies, they have measles, they have all kinds of other communicable diseases.
Smallpox,
God forbid. Yeah. Well, we haven't seen smallpox yet, but God forbid, because, you know, I had the smallpox vaccination when I was a boy, but those things don't last your whole lifetime. There's a lot of people out there who never got it because it was declared eradicated. What we need is one. One becomes two, becomes four, becomes eight, and the next thing you know, you have a full-blown, dangerous medical issue that is going to overwhelm the medical thing. In fact, schools are being overwhelmed, and the poorest schools. Mayor Dominic Sarno in Springfield, Massachusetts, I don't even know if he's a Democrat or a Republican, he's complaining that his schools are that they're gearing up to be overwhelmed, and it's a health crisis as well. Our governor here in Pennsylvania, he's a fiscal fellow. Like him or don't, he does the numbers, and he says, how are we going to pay for all the services that children require if we're going to keep them here? In terms of numbers,
exactly.
La Raza, which is the group that declares that America is not America, that it is it's owned by the, I don't know, the Aztecs, whatever they want to say, they're full of crap, but they're saying that this is their country, and they're going to take it back, and the hell with the Constitution, just like Obama's fellow in national security, who says that this is an Islamic country already. Well, they have wishful thinking, but that wish is going to come true if we don't stop them. La Raza was getting federal funding, just like Acorn was getting federal funding. Well, Acorn is back under a lot of different names, and La Raza went from getting $4 million from the federal government to $11 million this year. $11 million for organizing, $11 million for putting situations together. Can you imagine this National Day of Protest happened on a zero budget? And Paul Arnold, who we'll have on Wednesday, he just started this a couple of months ago because he said, hey, got to do something. And all of a sudden, he's the sharp point of the spear. He's the one who is really leading this. And God bless him. And, you know, James Neighbors can tell you more about that when he comes on. But
right, we're going to bring him on in a few seconds. Go ahead.
All right, because I do have more, but I'll do that later.
Because I'm going to be able to
bring
him in. He's been on Ultra Bit.
Absolutely. So I'll just finish up real quick. Had he had a $10 million budget, can you imagine what he could have done? This is all done on zero. All the people who are working today for this issue are doing it on their own dime, and the total amount of money spent is very, very little. But the total amount of effort spent is worth tens of millions of dollars. So the final thought I just want to leave before we bring in James and others, and I have some more to when we come back, is when Cindy mentioned how the truckers are about 90%. I was at a rally where I was speaking last Saturday in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and we had some fellows there who represent trucker movements, for liberty. You go into any truck stop, they told me this, and I stopped at a couple of truck stops on the way home this week, and they're absolutely right. The majority now of the people that you see in truck stops who have big rigs are not born in this country. Many of them are not citizens. Some of them, hopefully, have their green cards at least, so they're legal immigrants or legal residents, but they're taking jobs, decent jobs, and you'll hear Hindi and Urdu and Russian and Chinese, and you'll mm-hmm. hear Spanish, but you hear very, very little English in those places. And I'm not against immigration, but I am against this country breaking up into a bunch of little Balkan states. I like the idea of a melting pot, but the pot can't be made. The flame's too high. The basically what's happening now is the pot itself is melting. So over to you, and I want to hear some more people from the streets.
Yeah, and I refer to a instead of a melting pot anymore, it's becoming more like a salad bowl.
That's a good analogy.
That I make. So, yes, let's go ahead and definitely bring in James, another one of the organizers of today's events, the National Day of Protest Against Immigration Reform, Amnesty, and Border Search. Thank you very much, James, for coming to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. We're out here in Lawton, Oklahoma at the Rogers Road and I-44 overpass. We've got, looks like, about... just doing an eyeball count, probably about 30 people out here. We just had a large group of bikers just pull up and join us. Looks like there are about 15 of them. And, we've gotten a few jeers, of course, but the vast majority of people are waving and honking and smiling. And, it started out very, very well. Everybody showed up in a pretty timely manner. And if it goes anything like the city, we'll have people dropping by, off and on all day long.
Awesome. Great to hear. And as Dan pointed out, we look forward to hearing from some of those folks. So you heard Dan earlier on the line, you talked about Paul Arnold. You could tell us more about that and his efforts. And as you said, we are going to have him on the show this coming up Wednesday to tell us, how he got things started and, where it moves on from here and his experiences at his own rallies.
Yeah, Paul and I have known each other for, just about right at a year now. And, he was up in D.C. for the, it was another anti-illegal immigration protest. Alan West was at it. You got to meet him there. And it's, I can't remember the exact name of it, something about work. I don't remember the exact name of it, but that was a pretty good thing that was up in D.C. And he's been involved in the whole illegal immigration issue since as long as I've known him anyway. And we've talked for the last year about kind of collaborating with something to get something going. And after he was done with the with that movement that went on up there in D.C., he went ahead and started to make them listen, and it's kind of been, doing some fact gathering and people gathering and everything to try to get something going. And, we already had the infrastructure set up to make this whole thing happen. And we got a lot of help from William Dean. I don't want to understate the assistance that he's been for us. He's with AliPac. He knows a lot of people because he's been at this for 10 years against illegal immigration. And with his contacts and ability to spread the word to hundreds of thousands of people that aren't even on Facebook. Thanks to him and his advice and between, Paul and I's collaboration to get this set up, we've had almost 400, and, really I think it's greater than 400, almost 400 protests across the country that we know about. And, that's not even including the ones that people threw together that we weren't able to get on the list because they were put together at the last minute. I mean, literally hundreds of cities all across the country. Some of them were just a couple of people, but those are like just a couple of events with just a couple of people have shown up. The vast majority of them, they've had, 15 or greater. We've had some where they've had, more than 100 people show up. And so, we're talking about literally thousands of people across the country right now that are standing up. And they're saying no more to this lawlessness. That's really what it boils down to. It's lawlessness. We have laws, for immigration. We have laws for immigration, and they're not being enforced. We have laws to defend the border. They're not being enforced. And what we're seeing now, pardon me, what we're seeing now is an understated number by the federal government. In 2004, they said there were 11 million illegal aliens in the United States. That was in 2004. In 2006, another study was done that was saying that, hold on just a moment, got three semis going by on the road, just a moment. And they're all cattle trucks. It's wonderful. All right, there we go. At any rate, in 2006, they did a study and said that there has been 3 million a year coming across the border. You know, every single year, 3 million more illegal aliens coming across the country or into the country, and that's the ones that, you know, that they're aware of. So if you do the math on that, even if you threw out 2005, and the reason I do that is because we have deported some. That's 35 million illegal aliens inside the borders of the United States right now as we speak. And that's a low-ball estimate. Million. That's more than 1 out of 10 people within the borders of the United States are here illegally. And that's because of a complete dereliction of duty on many people's parts in the government. And you know, we don't have the resources. I mean, we have 1 in 5 children in America go hungry every single day, but yet we have 35 million people here that are taking resources away from people that, you know, from Americans, that we could be taking care of them. And, you know, people cry about, you know, all the they call them refugees. You know, they call them refugees. Well, we have refugees right here in America. If you're going hungry and you don't have a place to live, and you can't find a job, and you're having to live under a bridge, or you're staying in a homeless shelter, you're a refugee. We have American refugees, and we need to take care of our refugees before we take care of somebody else's. When we can manage our own affairs, then, hey, we should help everybody out every bit as much as we can, because that's the moral thing to do. But to let our own suffer for the sake of others, that's immoral. It's immoral, and it's unsustainable. We already cannot take care of our own affairs, but yet we're trying to take on all of the affairs of the Western Hemisphere, and you know, and then we're meddling off in the Middle East, and that's just, it's an unsustainable behavior on the part of our government, and it has to stop for the sake of this country. Robert?
I'm here. I was actually doing some call screening. We do have what I'd like to do is we're going to bring Cy Campbell in. He's the Democrat that Cindy was talking about, and he's called in. And then after that, we also have some other folks on the line who'd like to chime in. I've got some here in Ohio that I see, so we'll be bringing them in as well. But first we'll bring in Cy, and then James, if you want to have some folks there come on the line after Cy talks, that'd be great.
Yeah, I do. Hold on a second, and I'll get some lined up for you. We've got a pretty good crowd here, so we'll
awesome.
We'll pass it around.
Is there any people that want to come on? We've got plenty of time. We've still got about 2 hours here, so we'll use it. Thank you very much, Cy. This is the Democrat who said that our city was talking about in Florida, and so we have Cy on the line. Thank you very much, Cy, for coming to the show. How are you?
Robert's really good at it.
Well,
hello?
It looks like we lost the – go ahead, Cy, you're on the line.
Oh, okay, hi. Yeah, this is Cy Campbell, and I'm a long-term Democratic voter that just came from the protest over at Dunn Avenue in Daytona Beach. And I'd like to say that there are many, many Democratic voters that, like myself, that think the border should be secured against an inflow of illegal immigrants and think that illegal immigrants should be deported from this country. And I believe it's just the so-called political leaders of the Democratic Party that are misleading people about what really ordinary, everyday Democrats like me think, because I think most of Democratic voters do think that we're being flooded by, sort of being overrun by a flood of illegal immigrants, and they should be deported, and the regular laws in regard to immigration, of legal immigration, should be made stricter and the number reduced.
Yeah, awesome. And tell us, a little bit more, how you got the information about the protests today and, things of that nature, and, how you got involved. What spurred you?
Oh, okay, the reason I got involved was because I was very, I'm almost 60, but I've seen how the quality of life in this country has, to some degree, diminished or gone down because of the increase in the size of the population. So I've been... I follow the website Numbers USA, or a member of the group Numbers USA, which is concerned about how the rapid growth of the U.S. Population is having a negative effect on the quality of life. And so a big focus, and one of their big focuses, is reducing the number of illegal immigrants and trying to secure the border, as well as reducing the number of legal immigrants. So basically through being active in Numbers USA is how I heard about it, because they sent around a national list of the different gatherings.
And Dan, do you have any questions or comments for Cy?
I had to unmute. Yeah, actually, the comment I would make is congratulations opening your eyes. I'm a former Democrat quite some time ago. I've been with all the different parties over the years, and parties aren't what it's about, and those so-called leaders aren't what it's about. He's absolutely right. Cy is right when he talks about how the Democratic base, the regular people out there, just like the Republican base and the independent base, and even the people who don't consider themselves anything and don't even vote, the base of the people are against this because it is against us. We are not the breadbasket of the entire world. We cannot provide housing for the entire world. James is right. We cannot afford to take care of refugees from everywhere in the entire world when we have refugees living in this country. The best solutions are not that we're going to give more social programs to the people in this country who are living under bridges, who are going hungry, but by freeing up small businesses to create jobs so that the economy can be vibrant once more. We didn't used to need all of this help because we used to do it ourselves. It's the large businesses, the mega corporations that are pushing this. They're the ones behind this, them and the statists, and they're one and the same. Microsoft is one, along with Apple and Google, Microsoft is pushing very, very hard for this illegal immigration to become legal. They want American workers. So if they need workers, why are they lagging? Simple. They've done the calculations. Right now, until recently, we could go into a Walmart and we could purchase cheap stuff because we had jobs, and the cheap stuff was made cheap because it was made in places where there were no labor laws, where there was no, and protest or say the hell with this or go to another job. Basically, slave labor, often prison labor, often political prison labor in other countries, and I'll mention China. And these places were able to do things so cheaply that we could get cheap goods, but it still cost the transportation. And they've gotten to a point where they figure, hey, why do we want to have to deal with container ships and all this time that it takes? Why not simply make America a third world country? I'll tell you, folks, every single one of these people, these kids, allegedly, these illegals who are in this country, every one of them who works a job takes a job. There are no jobs that Americans won't do. I work in the unemployment office. There's not a job in a meatpacking plant or a mushroom farm or any of those other places that we don't have white or black or yellow or brown Americans already working in those jobs and doing pretty well and paying their way, right? There's no such thing as a job an American won't take, and we don't need migrant labor except for perhaps guest workers picking some vegetables and then going back with the money they earned. That's it. This is not a good idea for us to do this. And I want to correct the former callers also about one thing. It's not a question of enforcing the existing laws. The laws that are in place right now are bad laws, and they're being misinterpreted. Center for Immigration Studies showed that the Obama White House is misinterpreting the William Wilberforce Tract, who was the fellow who ended slavery in Britain. It's the William Wilberforce Tracting Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008. They always have those really great, what the hell does that mean, the laws? Go ahead, James.
I've got to run right now. The police are here unless you want to stay online for the conversation.
Okay. Here's what I need you to do, okay?
Over to James. You're on, James.
Oh, hello. Okay. Yeah. They were just coming by and giving us a little safety advisement there and asked us not to walk down and use the crosswalk just kind of at the end of the bridge instead of stepping on across the overpass here. And I suppose that's fair enough. At least they weren't trying to chase us off.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah.
Although it would have been more exciting had they done so.
Yeah.
Let me just finish up with a couple of thoughts and kick it back to Robert, because I know we've got more callers. The 2008 William Wilberforce Act that we were talking about does allow the federal government to hold children in exceptional circumstances and place them in the care of Health and Human Service Refugees Division rather than return them. But they're just saying that all these kids are refugees. Just because they're here, they're refugees. These are not kids where there's any proof that they don't have families of their own or any proof that they're targeted by drug cartels or by their own governments. So I don't see any reason why we have to accept President Obama's and Eric Holder's mistaken view of the law. By the way, talking about size, conversion to common sense, he's still a Democrat. I have no problem with that. But the common sense aspect, we have people in the AFL-CIO, that's Tom Chamberlain, president of the Oregon chapter of the one of the largest labor movements in this country, who is saying that he's actually really pleased at the fact that the Portland-based immigration advocacy group said the hell with a Catholic charity. They're not going to have anything to do with La Raza. They're not going to have anything to do with the Catholic Church if the Catholic Church is going to support illegal immigration, which takes jobs. So this is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is not a left or a right issue. This is not a conservative or a liberal issue. This is an American issue, and anybody who believes in this country continuing as a country recognizes that we have to have borders and we have to have sensible policies, which does not mean anything that's being promoted in Washington right now, with the exception of the latest laws, which I'll mention later when it's my turn again, with Paul Gosar in the House and Mike Lee in the Senate. But I don't want to monopolize this when we've got so much live going on. So, Robert, can we get somebody from either James's group or some other protest live on the scene?
Yeah, I've got somebody ready for you right now. If you hold on just a moment, I'll pass things over to him.
Awesome.
All right, here we are. This is Donald. Just a second.
I take care of that. What do you do? Just start talking.
Mic's right there by your head. Sorry, just set up. Just start talking.
Robert may be away from the mic temporarily. We can hear you just fine. Go ahead and talk.
Okay.
This is Don Probst from Indy Home, Oklahoma, and we're having a Old Pass rally here.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm here right now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you just fine. Say whatever is on your mind.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're here rallying against the policies of our current administration. The police just came up and gave the heads up about getting in the road. Other than that, we got a great crowd. People are peaceful, and we're just showing that we don't approve of what's going on in America right now.
And how did you start your involvement with this issue, and are you involved with any other liberty issues in your area?
On Facebook, I saw a overpass group, and I saw what they were standing for, and I went ahead and joined up with them, and I've been to several rallies, and they've all been peaceful, and we've never had any trouble so far with them, and I think we're just out showing our disapproval of the current administration and what they're doing to America. His policies, Obama's policies are just horrible. They're tearing down America as we once knew it. And it's fine that, you know, somebody stood up and showed their displeasure about it, you know, before it gets any worse. And the way it looks like, it's not getting any better.
Let me ask.
Here. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me ask you this. You have, obviously,
go ahead, Dan.
As everybody
I'm back on.
Does.
I muted myself.
That's okay. No, I was just having a little conversation with one of James's cohorts there on the overpass. Sir, how did you we know how you got involved and why you're involved. You've got friends. You've got family. What are actions to your involvement in being an activist for liberty? Are they with you? Are they... Do they think you're nuts? How are your friends and neighbors and family treating you now that you're taking steps to change things for the better?
Well, I'm doing this mostly for my kids and my grandkids, and they kind of, you know, look at me kind of strange, you know, but they support me, you know, but they kind of wonder, you know, why I'm spending my time to go out and do this. And I told my son, look, I'm doing it for you, and, you know, your grandkids, our grandkids, and everybody else's grandkids. You know, the way things are going, his kids, my grandkids, it's going to be horrible for them. You know, no telling what life they'll have. And that's mostly what I'm doing is, you know, my grandkids and everybody else's grandkids that are out there in America. And like I said,
that's a very good point.
Yeah, you know, like I said, someone look like, act like I'm wasting my time, but if I don't do it, yeah, who else is going to do it, you know? And so that's mostly why I'm out here, you know, is for people's kids and their grandkids that they might have an America like grew up in. And
that's a very good point.
Happen.
You know, when you talk about your kids and your grandkids, I think that that's something that, should resonate, and we got to use that very honest argument because – the other side is saying, well, don't you care about these children? The answer is yes, I care about children anywhere across the world. But the first child I care about is my own child, and the next are my brother's and sister's children, and the next are the children that live in the neighborhood who are my neighbor's children. And, yes, I absolutely care about those kids in third world countries, and I would love to see them turn their countries into prosperous, safe places to live. And I'm more than willing. Americans have always been more than willing to help out with helping children worldwide. But we can't be the parent of the entire world and help somebody else's child while depriving our own of liberty. And you know what? More than prosperity, more than a safe place, more than having medical care and schooling, the most important thing children need growing up is they need liberty for their parents. They need their parents to be free, to be able to make a decent life, and to pass on decent values to those children so that when those children grow up and become adults, they're not dumbed down slaves. They're contributing members to society. We need to be an example to the world. We even at our height of prosperity, we were never rich enough to take care of the entire world and be their daddy.
Exactly. And the way our government is treating these illegals coming in, I mean, they're treating them better than our veterans. You know, we got homeless veterans out there that are homeless, they're starving, and don't have a place to stay, and we're treating these illegals like, you know, they're better than our veterans. And to me, that's shameful, you know, that we have vets that are treated less than these illegals coming in. You know, we have vets dying because of our system, but yet, you know, we seem to have enough money to let these illegals come in. And like I said, the government doesn't have enough money to support everybody, you know. I think that we need to take care of our own first, you know, our own people and our vets, and then we can help other people. But like you said, America has been known to help everybody and anybody. I mean, like we're the first people that after storms and typhoons and tornadoes and hurricanes, you know, America's the first one to step up and step in and help these people. But yet, you know, we don't seem to help our own people and our own vets that, you know, serve time and put their life on the line for us. And it just hurts me that our government treats illegals better. It's just not right, and in my opinion.
100% agree. Thank you very much.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Here's something else.
I'm good. Sounds great. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am here. But I accidentally muted myself.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Bring on the next person. Yeah.
All right, just a second. I'm going to actually unplug the headset, so maybe the noise quality may change a little bit, but it'll make it easier for people to talk. So hold on just a second, and let's find the next person. Who wants to talk next? No? All right, here we go, Robert.
Thank you.
My name's Jeff Paper. I don't have any speakers. My name's Jeff Paper. And I'm out here to protest this stuff. I can't seem to get insurance for my family here, my wife and son, but yet we're going to have to get lawyers and insurance and all kinds of stuff for the people that's over here illegally, and I just don't agree with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the show.
All right, that was quick. Let's run on to somebody else, and let's see. Anybody want to talk on the radio? It's Robert Jenner, and I'm on his show every week. He's a good guy. He's on our side. All right, hold on just a second. Here he is.
Thank you, James.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good. Thank you very much for going to the protest today and talking on our show. You have the mic.
All right, not a problem. Hey, I'm all for compassion, and I'm all for looking out for the interests of others, as the Scripture tells us. But the Scripture also says run under Caesar with Caesars. And if the law says they need to come in legal, then let them come in legal. Got no problem with that. The illegal stuff, even folks that you talk to that are for the all this mess going on, not one of them is willing to take anybody home with themselves and pay up the bill. They want us to take them all in, but no one's willing to take in and stand up for what they're believing in. Well, we're standing up for what we believe in. They can come, but come legal.
Yeah, I've seen a post on Facebook where it says the Pope is saying that we should go ahead and let them come in, I'm paraphrasing, and give them amnesty and things of that nature, take care of them. And then someone posted, well, you know, he expects us to take them in. But, you know, I've got no problems against, you know, the Pope or the Catholic Church or anything of that nature. But how willing would the Vatican or Vatican City be with us bringing or us allowing, or they allowing, I should say, 50,000 and when we're going to go there, because, I mean,
okay.
That is a nation.
Hang on just a second, because I can't hear a word you're saying.
Oh, okay. The organic nature of the show, but that's okay.
It's all good, John. All good.
Okay, that's all good. No, just, you know, saying how... You know, I've seen a post on Facebook, you know, about, you know, the Pope saying that we should, you know, bring him in, you know, give him. Oh, we just lost the line there with James. I'm sure we'll hear back from him. And then we've also lost a couple other calls. I had some folks from Ohio in as well. And then, well, it looks like we lost size in them. their lines. So while we're waiting for them to come back, Dan, we'll go ahead and bring it over to you. I'm sure they'll be calling back. Oh, we just lost our Skype caller. Well, that's interesting. We're losing calls left and right. So we'll see. But I do see
that damned NSA again. I'll tell you what, Robert.
It does make me wonder. But real quick, Dan, I do want to open it up also for the audience members, any of those who are not at an overpass, but you'd still like to chime in about the issue of illegal immigration and the surge. Give us a call here on the show, and we'll get you in at 347-945-7428. Again, just call us at 347-945-7428, and then push 1 on your number dial, as James has just done when he's called back in. So let's go ahead and bring James back in, and then we'll bring it back to you, James. Thank you very much, James. Good to hear that you're back.
Are you there?
We are here.
Okay. Yeah, I lost you in traffic here because I couldn't hear anything you were saying.
Oh, that's okay. I was just bringing up the point where I've seen a post on Facebook where Pope is, suggesting to the United States that, to bring in these illegal, especially the children, and then, of course, take care of them, things of that nature. But someone commented on whether they would be as open to, 50,000 plus of those folks, coming over there and using their resources.
Oh, no, that wouldn't happen at all. When it comes to foot in the field, everyone's turned us to foot the field. No one's taking themselves. That's what I was saying. Folks that already talked to you who are for this bringing all these children in and anybody else is illegal, no one's willing to take them home themselves and fork the bill themselves to take care of these folks. If they're all for, send them down here like the Fort Sill and load them up and put the burden on the rest of the folks that are illegal.
And let me just bring up an irony. Let's just bring up an irony where, they want us to, pay for all of the, all these illegal immigrants, and they always talk about the children. What about the unborn babies where, they use the same argument against us, say, oh, well, are you willing to take in, the unborn baby? Say, hey, look, if you're willing to take care of, all these illegal immigrants, how come you're not willing to, if all these unborn babies are, are actually born, are you, how come you're not willing to take them on and pay for their care as much as you're willing
unborn
to,
American
babies. Who would be citizens. Go ahead, Dan.
That's unborn American babies, babies of American citizens who are already here.
Exactly.
Right, but see, they're not even taking care of the ones that are here now, and I'm retired military, and I'm getting tired of seeing the veterans being cut. We're not even talking about the unborn yet. How about the people already here? You turn around, you have the veterans sit there, and they volunteered to put their life on the line, so we have yahoos like this that want to have the freedom to bring up issues like this and want to be able to buck the law instead of according to the law that we sat there and fought to the fence.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, and that's one of the things I keep saying is, how do they plan to pay for all these folks, and we're the ones paying for them, and we're not taking care of our own. And I think the veterans issue, which, I mean, that's been in the news lately as well, illustrates that.
Oh, exactly. I sat there and watched. I also work with senior adults, and I watched everything being cut from Social Security for the folks that need to work for it to people who put up Social Security all their lives, only be denied because saying it's good to be accepted for Social Security, but the government saying, well, that does fit. They got new criteria. Yeah, we're putting out all the money through Social Security and all these other welfare programs to all the illegals, and no one takes care of ourselves.
Yeah, Dan, you want to chime in on something, so let's go ahead.
Well, this is an organic show, and it's going all over the place. And this one thing I want to make clear to everybody is that this issue is not simply about illegal immigration of children who are allegedly refugees, who are allegedly children. This is an issue just like all the others that bleeds over into other things. All right. One thing affects another, especially in this modern world. We're not living in little rural hamlets where we have to go a day away before we can even get to somebody else. And what they do doesn't affect us till we find out days later. In July last year, July 19th, so it was 1 year ago today, the new federal housing and urban development regulation was passed. okay? It's called the Fair Housing Act of 1968, Standards and Measures. They were going to affirmatively furthering the fair housing rule. I'm sure I'm mangling the speech here, but it's really not hard to do when you come to bureaucratic double talk. Basically, what happened is this. The federal government gives what's called block grants, community development block grants. They give money out that they've taken in, and this is a way of hooking municipalities, your local municipality, wherever you live, on the federal largesse. And along with these things come rules. And this particular rule sets racial and ethnic quotas, okay? And what they did last year was they decided that they were going to interfere on a federal level with local zoning laws, not just in the big cities, not just in the Detroits and the Phillies and the LAs and the Oklahoma cities, but in your small towns as well. What they're doing is they're saying that there need to be racial and ethnic quotas for every single place in this country. And they're going to use this with that power of the money and with the power of lawsuits to sue a community if it's too white, or I suppose if it's too black. Maybe they're going to say that some community that's majority black, and I'm sorry, you're not African Americans any more than I'm a Polish American. We're Americans. I got no problem with you being an American. Many of the black folks that I know, their folks have been here in this country and even free in this country much longer than my family has. So I give kudos to you as Americans. But anyway, a representative in the House, Congressman Paul Gosar, a Republican from Arizona, is partnering up with Senator Mike Lee in the Senate to say that this law has to be dialed back, that they can't be using unconstitutional federal power to interfere with people on a local level. And these things do bleed into each other. The EPA has decided that it has the power to garnish your paychecks, that it has the power to just simply administratively, without a hearing, take everything you've got. And that doesn't sound like it's related until you look at the fact that the EPA has just decided that if there is, and one of our callers from Cindy's group in Florida mentioned this, that if there's running water, even intermittent running water, which means you're anywhere where it rains, basically, the EPA has power. And they're not saying they have power to take your property, although they could. What they're saying is they have power to regulate your property, which means they can tell you what you can and can't do with it, which means they can tell you who can and can't live on it, which means that one thing infinitely leads to another. They could say you can't have a community set up the way you have it. You aliens in here. And we're going to say that you're not allowed to have control over this piece of land that you own, your backyard, because it rains there sometimes. So we're taking control, and we're going to place these people in there on your property. And you think that's really out there, that it could never happen. It sounds so outlandish. But this is exactly what Soviet Russia and Communist China did. And they did it en masse. Once they had control, once they disarmed people, they moved people where they wanted them. You not only had to present your ID, and pretty soon it might be a microchip under your ears, you had to present, not only had to have permission to travel, permission to be in a certain place, but you were ordered to be in a certain place. So if they said, you're living here, and you're sharing your home or your apartment with these people, you had absolutely no say in this. So folks, we're on the brink right now. But I don't want you to get depressed, because we're not on the brink of tyranny alone. We're on the brink of liberty. People are waking up. And remember, one activist who actually cares enough to do things is worth 1,000 of their so-called supporters who sit on their butts because they really can't get motivated. And why should they? It's all based on lies.
And
back to you, Robert.
That's the problem. We got too many people that are sitting there complaining, but nobody's doing. And you can sit there, anything you talk about, just like talking about the right to run your own land. Nobody had any say in these folks coming to Fort Sill. That was just force-fed to you. And the only thing that's going to happen next, I watched the same stuff happen, even legally, when he turned around and said he gave it to Fort Dix, which turned over to as a federal prison. You take out that, no one had any say in that. Fort Dix became a prison. Now you turn around, Fort Sill itself is
they said they're all restricted, so semi-prison, whatever you want to call it. But we'll come back. They ain't going to start putting that in the population. And again, I got no problem if you're illegal. I'm all for that. The key word is legally. These folks don't want to come legally. They need to go back. We're running this up because the executive powers are being misused so much against the Constitution. Now it's crazy.
Well, more than that, we need to make sure that what legal means is not simply that somebody had the stroke of a pen and made somebody legal. When my grandmother, who's
right.
the most recent immigrant in my family, came into this country from Poland, she had to have a sponsor. And that sponsor
correct.
guaranteed that she was going to be of good moral character, that she had a place lined up that was not paid for the government, a place to live, and that she had a job lined up that was not paid for by the government, and that she would not engage in criminal activity or in questionable moral activity. She wouldn't mess with kids or any of those kind of weird things that people might do. And not only had she done any of those things, would she have gotten herself deported, but the sponsor would have had to pay the fines. The sponsor would have had been responsible. And the way things used to be, people would have what's called public shaming. One of the reasons why you see a lot of this really bad activity out there is because no one's supposed to judge. Now, I agree that I'm not a religious guy, but not particularly. I agree that, God is the ultimate judge, and we need to be understanding of other people being different. But there are some things that we can judge people on their actions. And even Martin Luther King said, define somebody by the content of their character. You can know their character by their actions. Somebody who walks around in public doing certain kinds of behaviors needs to be shamed. They need to be told that that's not acceptable. And she didn't do those things, and that's why she got to stay. I don't have a problem with legal immigrants who want to be Americans and behave properly in America. I work with a fellow who is a former Mexican. He is an American. He speaks accented English, the same way my grandmother did with a different accent. And he came to this country after going through all the hoops and doing it all properly. And he goes to his PTA meetings, and he goes to his council meetings for the town that he's in, and he's involved with his children, and he knows the Constitution in and out. And he's not here simply because he wants a job and simply because he doesn't want to live there anymore. He's here because he really values what America is supposed to be about, and he is an activist working very hard to try and make America what he wants it to be, what we want it to be, what it's supposed to be, because he wants his children to live free. And that's the key right there. And this guy actually is stronger as an anti-illegal immigration fellow than most of the people I know who are native-born here.
And you hit the key, he hit the nail on the head. He turned around and said he's an American. I didn't hear you say he claimed to be a Mexican-American, but he's an American.
Right.
I don't use those hyphens anymore. There's no such thing as Mexican-American, African-American, Irish-American, Italian-American. You're either an American or you're not an American, and that comes from being a legal citizen. And more than that, I will accept that there's people out there who are legally American citizens, but in my book, if you want to be an American, you have to be in favor of what America is supposed to be about and take away religion and morality. You know, that's somewhat debatable. What's not debatable is constitutional liberty and limits on government. If you're not for that, then you may be an American, but you're not a very good American.
Yeah. That's true. They need to stand, but on when you hit the religious side of it, this is a country that was founded on God. And like you said, we're not supposed to judge. God's the final judge. And that's correct. And his scripture gives us all kinds of avenues to follow. I mean, it's the rule book for life. And you turn around and you look at the fact that, again, we're supposed to have compassion for others. We're supposed to look after the interests of others. We're supposed to bear one another's burden. But he also says, people run underneath the season. And from all says, this is the way you do that. Let them legally come, and that's what you need to do.
Yes, but remember, we're the ones who are ultimately responsible for what those laws say. There are laws that are proper, and there can be laws that are absolutely improper. In this country, it used to be illegal for women to vote. That was a bad law. It used to be illegal for blacks to vote. That was a bad law. I have no problem with changing the law to match what the founders intended. The basis
Correct.
Of the Constitution is supposed to be all individuals have rights that the majority cannot tell an individual what they can and cannot do.
Right. I'm agreeing
anyway,
with that.
Anyway, I do want to mention.
Go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Is it Donald?
Mention in passing. I'm not going to read the list. Donald, are you there?
Okay, I don't know who Donald is, but my name's Rich.
Oh, well, sorry, Bill. That was another one of our callers. We kept calling Donald. Go ahead. So, you know, I also want to thank you for your service. Go ahead.
I love this country. I fought this country. I gave points to this and for this country, and I'll do what I'm ordered to do. But we're also told we get them orders that just aren't right. We're supposed to question it. And this whole thing that's going on right now is very highly questioned.
100% right. One thing I'd like to bring out to our viewers, the other side is going to say that we're racists. They're going to say that we don't like these folks because they're brown-skinned. You have not heard, and you will not find very many in our organizations, and that's plural. There's many organizations. There's a list. It's available on my website page. There's a Facebook and lots of other places. There are dozens of organizations who are behind us, and none of them hate brown people or black people or yellow people or any other color. We're about America. And, you know, for them to call us names and say that it's about race is completely dishonest because we have people of all different colors who are for liberty, even though they won't admit that there are actually black folks who are saying this, and this is happening all across the country, who are saying, look, I'm from America. I'm getting a raw deal. The Obama administration is making it worse on me, and now on top of this, they're going to treat these people who aren't even from here like gold and give them everything while I can't even find a decent job. Because, folks, again, I work for the unemployment office. The unemployment numbers are so far worse than they're reporting that you would not believe how bad it is, and it does depend on where you're at. If you're in Montana working on an oil rig, you know, area where they're actually drilling for oil, the unemployment rate's very low. You want a job and you're free to travel, that's a place to go. On the other hand, they're paying guys at the Walmart $20 an hour because they can't get workers. All right. On the other hand, if you're in an inner city, if you're in Philly, and you happen to be a young person who's under 25, or you're a person who's over 55, and you happen to be a black fella or a black lady, your unemployment numbers are through the roof. If you're a construction worker of any color, because they're not building, because there's no money, your unemployment numbers are through the roof. There are some demographics in this American citizens, only 50%, half of the people of that particular demographic, and I don't like the word group, but that subsection of human beings that are American citizens, can't find a job. And we're going to bring in all these people. I'll tell you, if James's conservative numbers of 35 to 40 million illegal immigrants in this country, illegal aliens, is correct, and the vast majority of them are actually working, that if you sent them back, then we would have those jobs for Americans, and that would make a big dent in our unemployment here. By the way, anyone who thinks we can't send them back should refer to what was called, not very politically correct in those days, but Operation Wetback under President Eisenhower. I believe, right. And I could be wrong on this, I believe he sent back 8 million Mexican nationals who didn't have a business being here. He rounded them up and sent them back. Nobody died. There was no horrible beatings or anything else. They just had to go home. And if they want their home to be more like what America's supposed to be, I support them in this. You know, liberty used to be on the rise across the world, and it's on the wane across the world. And the reason is not because there are dictators across the world. It's because America is not providing that shining city on a hill. We're not providing the example of what liberty means. If you were in the 1940s, the 50s, the 60s, if you were in another country where it was poor, where it was tyranny, where there was a small group of families who ran everything and you could get shot for speaking out, why did those people fight so hard to reform and to restore their country and build liberty? Because they had an example of what it looked like. They could look at America and say, my God, look at these people. Not only do they have a great standard of living, but they can worship as they want to. They can speak as they want to. They can associate as they want to. Anyway, I could, you know, I always talk too much. Robert, can we get somebody else on the line from one of the remote locations?
Send a message to James and see if there's anyone else who'd like to come on. We want to be able to bring as many folks who'd like to come on to come in.
All right, Robert, hold on just a moment. I've got to cross the street. And I have to walk across the. Crosswalk. I've got to walk down to that. So let me make my way over there. And we split up because we filled up this one side. But they said don't cross the street right here, or we'll arrest you for jaywalking. So.
Jeez.
Yeah, they arrest us for jaywalking, so that's awesome.
Not arrest walking.
So I'm going to walk up here to the stoplight, make my way to the other side, so we've got the other half of our crew out here. But it's going very well. I'll tell you
what. Well, you know, James, you've just answered the question. Why did the activists cross the road?
Yeah, because we'd get arrested.
To cover more ground.
You just answered the question. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. good grief. Arrested for jaywalking. Wow. I mean,
that's crazy.
You know, now if I was jumping out in front of cars, you know, trying to cause a wreck, well, fair enough, you know, fair enough. I mean, I was trying to be a public safety menace, you know. I can understand that. But good grief, wait until the traffic's clear, walking across, and I'm going to get arrested? That's crazy. But, you know, on the bright side, down here in Lawton, for the better part of a year, they wouldn't even let us get out here and protest. Well, then we learned the laws, of course, and once winter got over, and because it was cold out here this winter, it really isn't too bad in Oklahoma, but... once we got to knowing the laws as they are, we informed the police department of the federal laws that work in our favor, 42 U.S. Code 1983 and 18 U.S. Code 241 and 242. And once we had informed them of those, they suddenly had a different take on things, and haven't given us such a hard time. They still nitpick on jaywalking, but at least they're letting us get out here and express our free speech. And we are just about across the street. I'm just waiting for a break in traffic. We actually have the news out here right now. I'm not sure what station it's, the Lawton local. I think it's the ABC affiliate.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Yeah, you know, actually ABC, the guy that covers this for ABC, I can't say anything bad about him, you know. He's actually done a pretty balanced story. I mean, you know, he covered both
good.
Sides.
Wow, I'm surprised to be honest. It's good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he covered both sides, but there wasn't any favoritism in what he wrote, you know. I mean, he quoted both sides of the issue because he talked to the counter-protester. And, you know, but that's news. You know, that's news, where you just present the facts, you take opinions from both sides, and you don't embellish on it. And he didn't. And there are two sides to every issue at the least, and he covered both and just wrote what was happening. And I have the greatest – that's journalism. And
– yes, sir. Well, that's refreshing to hear.
I'm telling you. You know, I was surprised. You know, the – I think even the NBC story was pretty good. Now, you know, Fox was out there and Channel 9 was out there. I haven't seen their stories on yet. But we had Telemundo out there as well.
and I checked their site, and I didn't see anything there. But even if I did, I don't read Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish, so I would be completely oblivious to what they were saying. So
press 1 for English.
Yeah, I speak a little bit.
Oh, I hate that. That drives me nuts.
I speak a little bit of mixed Spanish. Dos más, Big Macs, por favor. I used to work in a McDonald's in Salt Lake City. I was an assistant manager there, and the entire crew was Latino. If you didn't speak at least mixed Spanish, you weren't getting anything done. But all right, well, we're going to pass this off. Find somebody.
And while we're waiting, while we're getting someone from there on the show, I do want to tell the folks who are listening in the audience live that if you do not call in within the next half an hour to listen to the extended version that we have here on Bard's Logic Political Talk, and that is to call us at 347-945-7428. Because if you do not, unfortunately, in the next 28 minutes, then you will be unceremoniously cut off from the extended portion of the show, and you won't be able to hear the rest of it. Of course, you will be more than welcome to listen to the archive, which will be available right after the show. So if you'd like to listen in or chime in to the extended version, once again, give us a call at 347-945-7428. And if you'd like to come to the show, just push the 1 on your number dial, and we'll get you in. So back to you, James.
All right, I'm going to mute you for just a moment while I see if I can't find a volunteer. I'll be right back.
Okay, great. Sounds great. We'll hear from you shortly.
Well, while James is on Twitter right now, the entire nation is make them listen. One of the organizations that's sponsoring this nationwide protest, make them listen doesn't just mean immigration is an issue. It means make those people in Washington, your local state capital and your local municipal or township or
borough,
make them listen.
I'm ready when you are. Yeah, just
go for it.
Hi.
Hi,
can
we hear you?
Thanks for coming to the show. Who are we speaking with?
I can't hear you.
Oh, just give us your name and go ahead and tell us what's on your mind.
Well, my name is Tammy. I'm from Ada, Oklahoma. And I think that America should be taking care of their veterans and their children first before anybody else.
I hear you on that and fully agree. I mean, yeah, that's one of the things is we talk to people about, you hear, we got to take care of this. I was listening to a recording of CNN yesterday, and Michelle Moff, I can't remember her last name. But anyway, the point is that they were saying, you're calling the children invaders, or you saying that the kids are invaders. It's like, trying to make her look bad. Michelle Bachman, that's who it was. I was trying to make Michelle Bachman look bad on the show, saying that she was, calling these children invaders. And he kept trying to get her to say that yes, they're invaders, yes, they're invaders. But they're missing the point that, how do they expect for us to pay for these or even expect to ask the American people to pay for these, even if they are children, when they're not taking care of their own? Go ahead,
exactly. Pam. We have children in America that are starving, and we have veterans in America that are homeless. And they're housing these children and military installations. Why not put our homeless veterans there?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Give them, the food, the shelter, the clothes, the things of that nature. I mean, they've earned it by, their service.
Exactly, and there's so many Americans that can't get health care insurance, and they're giving it to these kids as they come over. Take care of the American children because they are our future. And our veterans have fought to protect that future for those children.
I agree. And that's thing that kind of, angers the most because they're just the liberal media or even the mainstream media is trying to point out that one is, as you said, asking whether we're racists, and two, that they keep trying to push home that these are children, and, a lot of them, Danny pointed out as well, are 17 years old, things of that nature. and they're really trying to, you know, tie on the heartstrings of the American people. Like, oh, these are children. You can't really send them back. And one thing I say, and this is going to be the most politically correct thing, is, you know, when did America become the world's refugee camp? I mean, they should spend the efforts that our, you know, our ancestors did with improving their nation instead of running. You know, fight for your, you know, I understand it's bad there, but there was a time in America it was really bad as well. Well, we fought for it. You know, it's time for them, even though it's modern, you know, the modern time, it's time for them to fight for themselves and, you know, perhaps, and I'm sure they would get, you know, aid from us in some other way, and send our people here and then take the jobs of, you know, our people that are unemployment. You know, I liked what Virgil Goode, he was running for the Constitution Party for president in 2012. What he said is, look, until we can get unemployment down, you know, to 5%, we can put a moratorium on all immigration, legal and illegal.
Well, I believe we should put a moratorium on illegal immigration, but this country was founded on religious freedom, and we were all immigrants at one point, but we took the legal way, and we did it legally to become citizens of the United States. So either way, they're breaking the law, and I don't care if they're playing on, oh, they're kids. You know, America has children, too. And that needs to be taken care of. They can, you know, these people, we have gone to war with other people and helped them fight for their freedom. And I'm sure that we would do it for anybody else. And then they can learn how to take care of their own people.
Okay, great. We hear some honking in the background.
Yep, they are. It was a truck honking at us. They are agreeing with us. We are standing up for what's right for America, and that's what all Americans should be doing at this point.
Awesome, we hear them. Okay, we have a couple callers in. We do have Cindy on the line. So let's go ahead and bring Cindy back in, and then we also have someone on 918 who'd like to chime in. We will get you in as well, and we see some other callers, and if you are just listening in, that's fine, but if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial. And for those new listening to the show, if you don't call in the next 21 minutes, then unfortunately you'll be cut off from the show and be unable to listen to the extended version. So give us a call at 347-945-7428. So thank you very much, Cindy. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry that I left you guys a while back. My phone battery died, and so I had to come all the way home to get my phone charged. But anyway, you sent me a message just before my phone died that Cy had been cut off. Did you ever get him back?
No, we never got him back.
Well, did he talk at all? Was he able to tell
you anything?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
All right. Well, so he was kind of a nice there's some people trying to get on the chat right now, I think. Somebody's having some trouble. But anyway, when you come to an overpass rally, you meet everybody from all different places. You meet Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians, no particular party. You just come in contact with so many people when you're talking more about issues than you are candidates. And it's so refreshing to know that people like Cy, who are Democrats, are waking up to, and, you know, we're waking up to, the Republicans have to wake up to and see what the Republican establishment is doing to us. Dan's description of the statists earlier this afternoon was so perfect. And we have to understand that statists are not necessarily one party or the other. They're all the parties. Anybody who is a part of that elitist group that owns the power, owns the money, owns the bank, those are the people that we are coming up against. They're the ones that we have to deal with. So when you go out and you this particular issue today on immigration is focused on, you see how many people are waking up to some of these issues and what's going on. And even though some of them, like I said, you'll probably vote Republican next election, but even if they don't say they're going to vote Republican, at least they know that there's some problems with these policies that Obama has been instituting and cramming down their throats, really. So, glad to have you, Susie, and Jamiles. I bet it's Jamiles.
Yeah, see, they're excited. If they like to call in, definitely go ahead.
So anyway, I was glad to meet Cy. But, you know, every time I've been to an overpass rally, it's been different people. The only person I have known this weekend, I knew Cheryl Toomey, who had organized a couple before, and I knew Cy today just from yesterday. And one other guy was there yesterday. So you all, there's all these new people, and like I said, the motorcyclist dropped by. There was another guy in a black Jeep that dropped by and talked to the people, and there's people getting information, and we're getting the word out, and we're spreading it around, and it's really nice to see the amount of people. The thing we have to do is get them all in the same place at the same time. And because Numbers USA got involved this weekend with promoting this weekend and some others too, we were able to get more new people in that weren't normally a part of Overpasses for America. So as we go, we're slowly trickling in more and more people. It's a growing movement. And as far as movements are concerned, it's really a pretty fast-growing movement. But because we don't get any press, because hate conservatives, we're too, you know, Tea Party-ish. So because we don't get any press, it's harder for us to get the word around. And, you know, one lady that just found out about this, like, yesterday and came today, that was one of the ladies that spoke to you, Duty, that spoke to you today. She only just got word, and she kind of accidentally found it. It's when you're only on social media or, you know, the web, information out, it's kind of difficult. But we got some TV press today, or yesterday, and so, you know, some more people are hearing about us, and I congratulate James for coming up with this idea. I mean, I know that other people had stood on the overpass, and he didn't actually get the idea of standing on an overpass himself, but he took it and ran with it, and he has been successfully congealing all these groups together, and he's brought us all under one banner, and yet we can keep our separate banners at the same time. And so it's been a marvelous thing to watch it grow and watch the impact that we're making.
And finish your thought definitely, but I want to see is Tammy, you still on the line? Okay, I was going to see if Tammy is still on the line listening, and then we'll bring in Holly, who'd like to call in and tell us about her experiences at the event she was at today. So we'll bring in Holly in shortly. So go ahead and finish your thoughts. Cindy will bring Holly in, and then James, you've got other folks, which I believe he does, who'd like to chime in. We'll go ahead and do that as well. So go ahead, Cindy, finish your thoughts, and I'll bring in Holly.
Well, I was just looking in chat, and Jamile Law has posted something talking about the illegal alien supporters lied on them and called the police. It'd be interesting to for you to call in, Jamil, and let us know how that went and what exactly happened on that. And this is something that's important to us, is how are the police and the local authorities reacting to us? And you have to know your rights. Cheryl Toomey, who is the local organizer around me, one of the local organizers, she brings a piece of paper with her, which is basically the Supreme Court decision that states that we have the right on public property, we have the right to the right of free speech. We can hold signs, we can talk, we can do anything we want to do as long as it's, you know, not disruptive of some sort. I can't stand in the middle of the road and cause cars to stop, and that's not what our intention is. But as long as we are not being stupid, we have the right to be there. So if you've got, if you want to get involved in overpasses, if you want, if you've got a group that you want to start, keep going. Make sure you. I think James can probably get you a copy of that decision. If not, James, I can send you to Cheryl. But you should have a copy of that so that you can show the police the Supreme Court decision. There have been in earlier days. Some people get hauled off by the police because they would not leave because they wanted to protect their free speech rights. But there in Florida here, we've had enough bad things happen from the police and the authorities that I think the word has gotten around pretty much in Florida to where they don't bother us anymore. They know we have the right, and so. But the new place, wherever you're going to start up a new group on a new overpass somewhere or in a state that's just now started to have overpasses events going on, you might need to make sure that you notify your police department, your sheriff's department, and let them know what you're going to do and let them know that you have the right. Bring them that paper. And just so that you can start right out in the front, because a lot of times police, when they show up, and they don't know the law, they don't know that Supreme Court decision, they think because their captain told them to go shut that thing down that they have the right to do that. But once they get there and the people try to explain on the bridge, it's kind of too late because now the officer is embarrassed. And it's like he has to go all the way up to arresting you in order to save face. Because they know that once you get arrested and you get hauled off to jail, nobody really finds out that, yeah, you were set free and nothing was charged against you, okay? But in the meantime, your rights have been smashed, okay? So if you, ahead of time, go and speak to your law enforcement, your local law enforcement, and let them know what you're going to do, you might save yourself a lot of trouble. Now, our DOT yesterday came by and said, we have a fence up over the top of, there's the cement wall, and then we have a fence up above the cement wall. And we normally, at our sites here in Daytona and Orange City, we put our, we zip tie or close pin our signs and our flags to the fence. Well, they came and told us yesterday that we could not do that. And today they did not. Today they did not bother us at all. A couple of cops drove by, never said a word. And so,
I wonder if it's according, and then I'm going to bring Holly in real quick. I wonder if it's according to what their belief systems, I wonder if they're a supporter if they just drive by. And if they want to give you a hard time, perhaps there's someone who doesn't really agree with what we're trying to do.
I'm sorry. Say that again, honey.
Well, I said, perhaps the cops that pass by seen it and they support what you guys do and decide to leave you alone, and perhaps the ones who have given you a little grief are ones who may not support so much. I'm not saying that's the case in all the cases, but I wonder if that's the case in some of them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is, especially the belligerent ones. But like our sheriff's department sent a deputy out yesterday just to say, we know you're here, you're doing okay, just follow what the DOT tells you, and everything will be fine. And that's what he came out to tell us, and that's all he had to say. And by the way, I think somebody has the video clip of him talking to us, and one woman asked him, are you going to, because this is the sheriff, she said, are you going to uphold your oath if it comes down to our government trying to come take our guns or come and take us off this bridge or whatever, are you going to uphold your oath and protect and defend us and our Constitution? And he just looked at her, cocked his head sideways and said, really? Really? You're going to ask me that now? And I'm like, that wasn't really a very polite answer, and it was left open as to what exactly he meant by that. So it was kind of a little disconcerting, his answer. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out.
Well, definitely send me the video, and then, Dan, I knew you wanted to make a quick a comment, and then we'll get Holly on. We also have Althea on, so we'd like to get her on as well. She'd like to chime in. So let's, Dan, get your comments, and we'll want to bring in Holly and then Althea. And I see folks who are listening out there and those in the chat. If you'd like to listen to the extended version of the show or even to chime in as well, give us a call here at 347-945-7428. Because if you don't, in the next 7 minutes, unfortunately, the audio will cut out and you won't be able to hear or chime into the rest of the show. So give us a call at 347-945-7428, and we'll get you on. And I also want to get some more folks from where James is, but we do have a little bit more than an hour left, so we'll hopefully get as many folks in that time as we can. I do see some more folks calling in. So go ahead, Dan. I heard you want to make some comments, and we'll bring in Holly. And then after Holly, we'll bring in Althea and then some of the other folks. And if you want to chime in, some of the callers I see on the line, just push the 1 on your number dial, and that will let me know that you'd like to chime in. So go ahead, Dan. Thank you.
Dan.
What Cindy says is absolutely right. It's very difficult for people when the mainstream isn't covering it. Yes? Mm-hmm. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, we hear you, Dan.
I'm not seeing it muted. Okay, maybe I had the mute button thing. Cindy, it's absolutely very difficult for most people going on when it's difficult for them to know what's going on. Mainstream press isn't covering it, which is one of the geniuses of something like us, is you get 10 people standing up for, they're going to have 10 people who can't avoid seeing one. And it's going to be enough to stop asking, or at least to find out what the issues are. A great deal of experience on all sides of all issues over the mess of public protest. One of the most important things to consider how you look. If you're going to go up camera and carry open carry for certain type of protests, if you're going to protest for the Second Amendment, we have our local militia group, SIP, told, do not wear a uniform unless you have a carry permit. Don't even bring a weapon, certainly not open. Just add press.
Dan?
It gives the enemies
Dan?
Of liberty ammunition. When you
Dan,
mark
them,
yeah.
Can you like move your? Can
go
you
ahead.
Move somewhere because you're really breaking up really bad. I'm only.
Oh,
here,
you're breaking
like,
up okay. I thought maybe that might have just been on my end, but yeah, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I said, well, the NSA really doesn't want to
all right,
hear what Dan has to say. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Okay, there's nothing much I can do about that. Am I coming
you're
through clear now?
Well, you were.
A little bit better. Keep bringing up.
Yeah, see that? All you have to do is talk about the NSA. All right, to make it as possible, consider what you look like when you're going to these protests. Don't give the mainstream press any ammunition by looking like a crazy person. make sure that the message that you are putting out there on your signs is not something that's beyond radical, that's going to scare people off. Make certain that when you are confronted by authorities that you're respectful of their office. They may be jerks or they may be nice guys. Respect, they do work for you. Make certain that you're videotaping them. And if they ask you, like the fellow asked James, not to have his group crossing a crosswalk, that's fine. Just go with it. That's a reasonable thing for them. But if they're telling you that you can't protest at all, you have to ask them and make sure you're on camera phone when you do it. What law are they citing to tell you? If they can't cite a specific law, then you have to be there. And are they prepared in a polite and peaceful manner? Prepare and go before a magistrate and explain why they used force again when all you're doing is acting your First Amendment rights. Anybody there?
Yeah, we heard just for me, it was breaking up. Hopefully, it didn't for the other folks. So maybe we'll have to check that out. I'll look to the archive, see if that happened. But I do want to bring in Holly, and then we'll bring it back to you, Dan. I don't know if it's still breaking up for Cindy. Cindy, we can talk about that text or something like that if we can test the audio. But at this time,
am I
do want to bring
one?
In Holly. No, it was kind of breaking up for me, too, but I'll check the archives to see what's going on. So said the NSA really doesn't want to hear want people to hear what Dan has to say. But I do want to bring in Holly, and then Althea, you're next. So, Holly, thank you very much for calling to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm great.
Let's hear about that.
Yeah, I'm out here in Oklahoma, and I hosted a rally here south of Tulsa, and it went really well. We had about a dozen to come out from all over. And we had people that, you know, like Dan was just speaking to, you know, they would stop and ask questions. You know, we were able to raise awareness, you know, that way and talk to people. I was at a really nice location, no problems whatsoever. There was one trooper in like a SUV-type vehicle that drove over the overpass, and he just kind of went down to one end and parked for a minute, and then he just went on, you know, and didn't bother us at all, and we weren't bothering anybody, and got lots of honks, lots of waves. Of course, we got the occasional peace sign, if you know what I mean, and we're just like, God bless you, too, and but overall, it went really, really well. Couldn't even ask for better weather. We had wonderful weather as far as northeast Oklahoma. We do?
I'm here.
Okay. So, yeah, that's my report.
And real quick, folks, I just want to put it out there that in 60 seconds or less, the audio is going to cut off for those who are not called in. So give us a call at 347-945-7428. And for those who are listening on the archives now, I do want to apologize for not being able to get you into the show. But we will be having an update on today and yesterday's events on our Wednesday night show, the 23rd, where we will be talking about it. Also have some guests on as well. And so listen to that this Wednesday starting at 10 p.m. But give us a call at 347-945-7428. And if not, just listen to us with our guest, Paul Arnold, one of the organizers of the event on Wednesday at 10 p.m. Go ahead, Holly.
Okay, so I was just saying that we had a really successful event there south of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Had right out a dozen to show up, and everybody, as Cindy was saying, you know, you meet different people each time, and I made sure and thanked everyone that came out, and they were just all really good people and just concerned, you know, for our country and for the elite, you know, this recent surge of illegals coming over our border and the things that they're bringing with them, and to hear, you know, and I tried to take time to speak to each individual through all the horn honks. But, you know, and they each have their own, you know, concerns. And also different vehicles stopped and wanted to know, you know, what we were all about. And we said, well, we're out here because of the recent, you know, surge at our borders of illegals, and our leadership doesn't seem to be able to do anything about it or follow the rule of law that's already in place. So we're out here trying to raise awareness, and we would let them know they could, if they're internet savvy, they could look it up at, you know, Overpasses for America. We're actually that we're just using their venue right now. That there is just multiple groups that are coming together for yesterday and today's event, that I was sure there would be more in the future.
Okay, great. And then so let's go ahead and we appreciate you calling in, Holly. And, of course, everyone's mic is still on. And that's what we do here on the show. For those who are new to the show, we, of course, would like to invite you and have you come back for Wednesday night show and other subsequent shows. And all the shows are archived, so follow the link so you can listen to those as well. And one thing we do here on the show, whether it's a special edition or our regular scheduled programming, is once a person calls in, and of course they remain respectful to the guests and our panelists and audience, then of course what we do here is unlike a lot of radio shows where you talk for a couple minutes and we say, okay, bye, thanks for calling in. You're welcome to stay on the show for the duration of the call. And so, of course, what we like to do is do a roundtable discussion here on the show where we try to bring it back to folks who stay on the line and get them in as much as you know, we can, as much as they would like to be on. And so, of course, that's why we say this is your show, the people's show here on Bard's Logic. And so with that being said, I'm going to keep your mic on, Holly. And then I see some more stuff with James. James, if you have someone you'd like to chime in, go ahead. And then we're going to bring Althea in. So I do want to bring her in. And then we do have someone, I believe, from Cleveland who is calling in as well. But we do have about 50 minutes left of the show. So we'll go ahead and we'll have plenty of time for that. So go ahead, James. You got somebody else there you'd like to chime in?
No, pretty much rounded out. Hold on, let me check. You want to get on the radio for a minute? I've asked pretty much everybody, and we've run the well dry, Robert. So
not a problem. Well, that gives them opportunities to get some folks from some other areas in. And so what we'll do is thank you very much. But if anyone would like to chime in, just give me a text, and we'll get you in. So Althea, thank you very much for holding, and we will bring you on. Thank you very much for coming to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Just heard about your show. I saw a tweet out and clicked on it. My name is Althea Shaw. My nephew, Jamil Shaw II, was executed in 2008 by a illegal alien gangbanger, released from jail negligently released from jail March 1st, 2008, murdered Jamil March 2nd, the very next day, while his mother was serving in Iraq. And so we were we hosted one of Paul Arnold's, we're friends with him as well, one of the events yesterday on the bridge that Jamil actually walked down just a few minutes before he was gunned down. That was the overpass that he walked down. And so we were there yesterday, and the opposition, they called the police, and it wasn't even a big crowd. It was a small crowd. We had our American flags, and we had signs that said no amnesty, and there were signs that said stop illegal immigration, American flags. Kids were there, and just really with like-minded people, and we look up, and there's three police officers were there, and they said that someone called and said we were smoking and drinking. So I assured them that we weren't, and that I explained to them why we were there for my nephew's murder and how the Obama administration is still releasing illegals out and thousands of them, and the same thing is happening all over again that happened to us. And what we found out was that the overpass right around the corner from our home on the north end, that's the side that we enter, that's Wilshire Division police. Well, we had talked to Wilshire Division. I heard the lady saying, talk to your police. And we talked to them. We were respectful. We've been on different overpasses. They know that we support a law called Jamil's Law, which would deport gangbangers who are in the country in the country illegally, and so they're familiar with us on the Wilshire side. Well, what we found out was if you enter the bridge on the south side, that's Southwest Division, and so that's another police department at LAPD. And so we learned that, and they told us that we didn't contact them, which we didn't even know. So anyway, they were pretty much wanted us to leave, and we were telling them why we were here. We're not even doing anything but holding up our signs. People were honking, and like the lady was saying about the special peace sign, we got some of that. And so police officer was, there was three officers, and so two men and a female officer, and so she did all the talking, and she was like, well, how long are you guys going to be here? We said, well, you know, we're going to leave at 7 o'clock, we told. We sent out a flyer. We're a part of the national group, so everyone knows we're going to be there at 7, so just in case more people come, that's when we're staying, she said. So then that's it. You guys are through. It was almost like, so then we don't have to see you no more? I mean, I'm like, right. I was just, so anyway, we said, well, we're going to be here Saturday also from 1 to 4, and then she said, okay, so then that's it. And then so we were like, well, no, we're going to be here every Friday. So she was like, well, I don't really have a problem with what y'all are doing, and so I can see that no one is smoking, and the person who called pretty much is a pain in my rear end, but I had to come out and check it out and stuff. But they just seemed like they weren't happy with us saying that we're going to be there on Friday. So then they left, and then they came back and stood by the entrance of the overpass on the south end side for about 20 minutes. And it was as if, I don't know if they was waiting for the watch commander to clear it or what, but I, explained to them that I worked for LAPD for 12 years, so, we're good law-abiding people. And so they stayed there for about another 20 minutes, and then they left. So we're going to go back today. And we are going to come because we started saying that, we need to make a presence once a week somewhere. So it just so happened the way they made us feel like we need to leave, we were like, you're trying to run us out of our country. Our children are being murdered in Los Angeles. The politicians are trying to make it, have made it a sanctuary city. They want to aid and abet. And now you want to kick us off the bridge. It's like, enough is enough. So
amen.
We stood our ground, and we're going back today.
You needed to be a Mexican, Papia. You guys just needed to be a bunch of Mexicans. You'd been fine.
Excuse me?
Yeah,
I know.
You needed to be a bunch of Mexicans. You'd have been fine.
Yeah, and we had a lot of media. Fox News was there, 2479. Univision came and said they were looking for someone to do the interview in Spanish. And so we said, well, can we do it in English? And then you guys translated whatever language you want. But they said no. But, we had a good turnout and until, that happened. But something about Los Angeles is they don't even want to deport the gang members, and people are mad at us because we're mad that, my nephew was murdered, Jamil Shah. He was a superstar, 17 years old, being recruited already and looked at by Rutgers and Stanford, just destined for greatness. Shot in the stomach. It took us 4 years to go to trial. We found out that the gangbang of the one that did it was in jail with assault with a deadly weapon on a police officer in November 2007. They only gave him a 6-month. Now, he's in the country legally. They gave him six months and a 3-month early release, and they just get mad at us. So, we're glad that people are coming together. But thank you for listening to me. I don't mean to ramble on and on, but I appreciate you listening.
Althea, you're not rambling. Yeah. I wanted to just say I've been following the story about your nephew Jamil's death. It was not only a tragedy, and the way it was handled was not only a travesty, but it was entirely preventable. That young man had promise. That young man came from a good family. That young American was somebody who could have made a huge contribution to our country, and he was lost, sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. For nothing at all. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. It was a cold-blooded murder by a guy who should never have been here.
Amen.
In fact, they're insulting us when they talk about these people coming in today as being children, and they keep saying, just like they keep saying, it's 11 million. They've said, and they never change this, 57,000 have crossed the border illegally, these so-called children, since last October, but they won't give us the information. Ernie Istook, my former colleague in the Washington Times, a great patriot, he has a nice article on there, and he's talking about the fact that even though Josh Earnest, who is the press secretary for Obama, is saying that, well, the public has a right to know, but there are privacy rights. He fails to quote any specific laws, first of all. Second of all, the guy is part of an administration that doesn't have any respect for Americans' privacy rights, and there has never been a privacy right when you're talking about masses of individuals. Even if you don't talk about a specific one, you know, we had from Oklahoma, Jim Bridenstine was down on the border, and he's saying that a lot of these fellows who are coming across look like grown-ups to him. Bob Goodlatte of Virginia is saying that some of them may be as old as 27. To say that anybody who's over 16 years old is a child is an insult to us. They are job takers and dangerous because we don't know who they are. When our folks came to this country, they had to show who they were. And if you're in this country, they know who we are. We've all got some record. And if there's no record, it means we haven't been doing anything. But these folks can come in here. They may be criminals or they may be decent folks, but we have no idea. And they won't tell us, even though they know who these folks are. And there's something wrong. Whenever I see a government agency that refuses to give information, I suspect the worst every single time.
Yes, me too, Dan. Right. Me too.
Okay, folks, I do have another caller I'd like to bring in. Of course, we'll keep everyone else's mics open. And she is from my state, Ohio, and somewhere around the Cleveland area, and she'll tell us more about that and her experience there at the overpass. Thank you very much, Kathy, for coming to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for having me on. And I was at the rally in Chardon, Ohio, yesterday.
Chardon.
And Chardon, yes. And it went very, very well. We probably had 40 to 50 people out. And it was very, very good, very peaceful. We had a lot of support from the traffic, a lot of honks. Yes, there were some that were in opposition to what we were doing, you know, and they did that with a gesture. However, that was very few. Most people were overwhelmingly supportive of what we were doing. A lot of nice people came out. We actually had our local state representative show up, and
oh, wow.
And he rallied with us. Yes, his name is Matt Lynch, and I thought that was exceptional.
Wow.
He would take the time to come out. And he actually has, if you're in Ohio, and I am too, Mr. Lynch also has some house bills that he handed out like a half sheet of paper. And one of them, there's two house bills that have not been acted on. He suggested these and introduced them about a year ago. And the first one is that illegal aliens can get a driver's license in the state of Ohio. And he has a House Bill 114 out to reverse that. And also there is in-state tuition available for illegal aliens in the state of Ohio. Yeah, and House Bill 254 would reverse that as well. And if people, you know, are in agreement that those two things would help in Ohio to slow down illegal aliens coming to our state, if they would call Bill Batchelder, he is the Ohio House Speaker, and his phone number is 614-466-8140. So I think those two things might be able to help us. But, you know, I just wanted to report a great rally in Chardon, Ohio. You know, people from three, four counties came out. So very, very good. Very, very good, and a lot of support here.
Awesome, and we'll do
I'm very pleased
with all the other folks. Just keep you on the line, Kathy, and then Dan. Let me get this out real quick. we'll keep you on the line, and we'll do our roundtable until as long as she lasts. Because at this point in time, we are in what we call the extend version, which unfortunately we won't be able to get any new callers in. But we'll be able to keep on the calls we have now. So we'll, you know, get with our roundtable discussion part, bring it, you know, bring any few folks who are on the line now. And first, before Dan, I'll let you get in a second, I do want to say, Dan, I want to offer my condolences for your loss, and definitely want to invite you guys back on the show and to contact me so we can, you know, maybe have more information and, you know, tell your stories more so on the show. So go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And there's a contact page. You can contact me with your information, and perhaps we can get a show on that, and also have Althea, and then also get some more people, you know, here on the show on it. So go ahead, Dan. I just wanted to, probably have those good folks check out the site and the contact page. She's hearing some dogs in the background, so we could get some more on the show. But go ahead, Dan. Was that your dogs back there? Somebody's got to care. That's
so those dogs are definitely overpass supporters.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, I don't have any dogs currently. But my cat did get a mouse this morning. It's a very good cat. I'm very pleased
to
hear in Ohio that we have
today.
Local representatives who are...
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, Dad.
But I'm pleased to see that local representatives are stepping up where our national so-called leaders are not. And that really is the key. If we have an entrenched, established elite in Washington that refuses to do their job properly, in fact, that insists on doing it wrong, we can, in effect, nullify their effects on our lives by passing local ordinances that refuse to go along with it. As I've mentioned before, here in my township, which is a small little area, we defeated one of these statist candidates and are continuing our fight. And it started off with the Agenda 21 Lite, which is the quality of life ordinances. So whatever it is that you can do, whether it's depriving illegals of privileges like driving licenses that they don't deserve or anything else, that's definitely something worth following. And I also want to mention that the National Day of Protest was yesterday and today, but this is not necessarily the end of things. Tomorrow, in my area, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is not that far, it's about 50 miles away, there's going to be protests at a place called Kids Peace, which is a youth treatment facility that has accepted illegal aliens, these so-called children, into this country. And it's an all-day protest there starting at 11 a.m. In Wilmersdorf, Pennsylvania, which is basically Reading, again, that's about 50 miles from here, there is an all-day protest on the same issue. And this is outside of the original intent of the organizers who just said 2 days. Well, the 2 days is becoming 3 days, and the 3 days may become weeks. This is an issue that has caught fire in the hearts of Americans of all political backgrounds, of all races, of all creeds. We've had Democrats on this show. We've had Catholics. I'm a Jew. We've had people who are probably other denominations. We have blacks and whites, and we don't care. We don't care where you're coming from or what you say you're about. We want to know who you are, and we want you to follow the rules when you come into this country. We don't want a free pass for people coming into this country when we don't even know who they are. In fact, what happened with Althea's nephew, Jamil, happened again in Texas just a couple of days ago, where an illegal who was released on his own recognizance, who is going to stay here forever based on the way the Obama administration is failing to enforce the law, he committed a murder. He murdered someone. Some of these people, we have enough problems with our own homegrown criminals. We don't need to import more people and not even know who they are. One of the things that's important about immigration is that we bring in people of good moral character who are willing to obey laws. You cross the border, you've already proven that you don't want to obey the law. Those rules that were written for true refugees who could prove that they were in danger of their lives because of their religious... I mean, if you're a Christian and you're coming from a Muslim country where they're killing Christians, I say we may be able to allow you in. Let's see what your case is. If you are coming from communist China and they're going to kill you because you're an internet dissident and they've already locked up your family and you want to come in here, I may be okay with that. We want to look at your individual case. But individual cases is what this should be about, not mass movements of children. And don't tell me that these children are all refugees. Somebody had to help them get the 1,000 or 1,500 miles from Central America or wherever the heck they may be coming from, because we don't know, to get them all the way across Mexico to the border. And That means that the cartels are involved. That means that the governments of Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, they're involved in this up to the hilt. And they're trying a blackmail campaign. They are trying to say, well, we will continue to send these people across your undefended border and overwhelm you unless you're willing to give us a Marshall Plan, unless you're willing to go further into debt. We owe $17 trillion that we don't have, and they want us to go further into debt to redistribute wealth to make their countries have more money. And by the way, any monies that we were to send to them aren't going to get to the people. They're going to get stuck in the hands of the small number of families that actually own those countries and run those countries. So I say it's time to say no to this. And people are saying the same thing everywhere across America.
You're right.
And at this time, go ahead and then we'll bring it to you, Cindy. Here's how we'll do things. We got about 20 minutes before I unfortunately have to close out the show. Definitely a quick show tonight, but we will be having Paul Arnold on for continuing coverage and updates for the weekend events this Wednesday at 10 p.m. So look for the link in the next coming days to that show. But we'll, here's how we'll do it here for the roundtables. We'll bring in you, Cindy, and then we'll bring you over to Holly, and then Althea, and then Kathy. So go ahead, Cindy.
Well, I just wanted to say to Althea, thank you so much for coming on today and letting us know, you know, what's going on in your family and, you know, just updating us on all of that. And thank you for being strong and for making something happen as a result of Jamal's death and not just letting it go. You know, a lot of people have done a lot of good things out of tragedies, and I think this is one case where, you know, we can get a lot done. If the family of Jamal and the friends of Jamal and other people, you know, get behind them and try to stop the madness. But, you know, we're up against a battle that is, we don't even know how big this is. We're pretty sure that we know who's behind it, the money, the banks. You know, we know pretty much who's trying to crush America, destroy our sovereignty, and meld us into this one world order. But how far it goes and what are the arguments in the background between elitist Republicans and elitist Democrats, we don't really know that. We don't really know what's going on in these back rooms where these people are discussing this stuff. What are they saying? Are some people saying, no, I don't want to be a part of destroying millions of lives, taking out millions of people? And then the other one might be saying, but that's the only way we can get our population controlled, and we have to have the people under control, and there's too many of them. What are the nuances to the argument that they're having behind the scenes? How many of us are going to have to die for them to get what they want? I mean, if you look at the millions, the tens of millions that died under Lenin and Mao, Pol Pot, you just take all those communist people that, in order to institute communism in their countries, they had to massacre millions and millions of people. Is that what's being discussed in the back rooms here in America? Is that, and you know, how many people are involved in this statist, elitist group of people, this one world group? How many people are involved from other countries? What other countries are connected to this elitist group? What is the plan? How many of us are they planning to take down? And you know, if we knew what was going on in the background in these secret meetings, it would probably astound us. There just probably would be jaw dropping, eyes popping responses And it's too bad that we can't get people to see beyond the news media that we have today and look beyond the halls of Congress, look beyond the walls of Washington, D.C., look beyond the White House walls. What else is involved here? This is an immigration problem, and as Dan said, people are pouring over the borders, but they're not just coming over the borders on foot. They're coming in planes now, okay? This has to be the government, the originating government has to be, the originating government has to be responsible for this. They have to be in cahoots. And I just know that Obama and his administration are in cahoots. So anyway, I fear for my nation. That's why I was out at overpasses 2 days in a row. It's hot. 90-something degrees here in Florida. People are sweating out there. We're drinking the water. And we're doing the job that it takes. We need more people doing that job. There just has to be more people doing that job. Overpasses is growing leaps and bounds. It has to happen quickly. If it doesn't happen quickly, it's going to be all too late for us. It's going to be the frog waiting too late to jump out of the pot.
And Cindy, we have to go ahead and move it over to Holly. I calculate each person may have about 4 minutes before I can be able to get everyone in fairly. So, Holly, if you'd like to comment anything on Cindy said or bring in a point of your own, go ahead.
No, just real quickly, I was saying earlier, you know, when you're talking about the pets, I actually did take my dog to the rally today because my husband went with he's the Oklahoma State coordinator for 2 million bikers to D.C., and a lot of the bikers went to Lawton, Oklahoma today down there by Fort Sill, and I was just sitting here looking, trying to get updates on that, so I hope that's going well because somewhere this morning it was said that some opposers were already saying they were going to be there. So I just thank everyone and pray for everyone that's still out there. And there's something has to be done. $3.7 billion is what Obama's asking for, and none of it that I can see is going toward securing our border, which in my opinion is what needs to be done first. That's about all I can say.
Well, thank you very much, Holly, definitely, for coming on and sharing with us tonight. And, of course, you too, Cindy Bell, down there in Florida, and also bringing Cy on. That was great. And so we'll bring it over to you, Afia. If there's anything you'd like to comment on with anything you've heard so far, if there's any other points you'd like to bring in. And I still see Althea on the line. You still there with us?
Okay, Althea, are you
Hi, Althea.
Maybe she's
Go
muted.
Go ahead, Althea.
Yeah, she may have had to step away, but of course her mic is on, so but she's ready to chime in. Althea, just go ahead and let us know. So we'll bring it over to you, Kathy.
Yes, hi. I would just like to extend my sympathy to Althea in the loss of her nephew. I did not know about this. Again, I'm in Ohio, and it seems like this happened out in California, but what a shame and a tragedy that had to happen, and I just would extend my sympathy to her family. And just also, I would like to reiterate on the $3.7 billion that's being asked for. From what I understand, less than 2% of that is going to go to securing a border. So there's really no remedy in any of that. And I can't even imagine what they're going to do with that money, but that needs to be voted down. And also, just thinking about the job situation in this country, and we have 92 million people that have left the job market because they can't find employment. And we have big business and the United States Chamber of Commerce backing amnesty to bring in labor to this country. They're saying that they need skilled labor, but what I see crossing the border is not skilled labor at all. And so that's almost laughable, but I'm very concerned about jobs in this country, and I'm very concerned about the social services that will need to be used to take care of people that are coming that really are going to be burdens to every state. And I'm very concerned about all the secrecy. I mean, we really don't know, other than the few pictures that we see, what is going on down there and what kind of a humanitarian crisis that we have. And the people that are coming in have had a very long trip, and some of the girls have been raped. It sounds like it's terrible. And I believe that the only way you can stop the flow is to start sending them back to their own countries. And I think that has to be done. I just thank you for having this radio program, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. And I just thanks to everybody that showed up on an overpass or someplace this weekend and made their voice known. That's really all I have to say.
Well, thank you very much. And, of course, you're welcome to come on the other shows, including this Wednesday when we'll have Mr. Arnold on, and that'll be at 10 p.m. Eastern time. and so we'll check back with Althea. Althea, you back in the line? Okay. Well, then we'll set her mic's open, so if she's had the opportunity to chime back in, that's great. So we'll go ahead and I did get a message from James, and he had to speak with some other media folks, so he had to go off the line. So we'll go ahead and bring it over to you, Dan.
Hi. I think if we can get Althea on the program, that would be awesome. It was not, as I said, a tragedy. Jamil, this young man was a top scholar and athlete. He was a real credit to his family and his community, and he was really, really going somewhere. But Althea's story is more than that. It's not just a personal tragedy that was caused by a government program allowing illegals, giving them a pass. It's the activism that she and others who support this idea have been doing. It's the stuff that they're doing because of it. The fact is, we've been putting up with a lot of stuff. Americans put up with stuff for a long, long time until we don't. And Althea, when it happened to her family, she stepped up. And so many of us are stepping up, and I don't want it to take a personal tragedy in each one of our lives before we're willing to step up. What Cindy was talking about this vast, well, not a vast, but this very tight little conspiracy, what are they talking about? Look, when I don't have facts, I'm a trained investigator, and that's what I do for a living. When I don't have the facts, I look at the pattern of what I do know, and I imagine what might fit and not exclude any facts. What does this tell me? And I don't assume that I'm right, but it tells me where to look for more facts. Now, the FEMA, this is a couple of years back, they ordered a lot of coffins, and they put them in a lot of places, and they established a lot of internment centers, FEMA internment camps that exist. This is not a rumor. This is not a conspiracy theory. There's provable fact they exist. Homeland Security has been ordering lots and lots and lots of full automatic, high capacity, semi-automatic and full automatic rather, weapons, guns, and they've been ordering millions upon millions of bullets, and not just target bullets, but anti-personnel bullets, hollow point bullets. And the Department of Defense is giving out MRAPs, basically tanks, all across America to local jurisdictions. So you look at those provable facts, and you have to ask yourself, what does fit the pattern without excluding the facts? And where might I look for more information? In the meantime, there are things we can do on a local level with our local municipalities and state governments. But more than that, we need to urge our House members to simply cut funding, to simply not support what the administration is doing. We have to attack them on all fronts, and that includes that one. 2 million bikers to D.C., which was an organization that was mentioned by Kathy. That's who I was speaking for last weekend, an excellent group. Join a group, folks. Try them out. Go find one that seems right and attend a meeting. And if it doesn't seem quite right for you, pick another group. Pick something, because every single one of these issues affects every single other issue. And if you don't get involved, you're actually helping these people, these evil people who have decided that they want to change everything fundamentally and take away our liberty. You're helping them by doing nothing. So do something. And don't assume that what you're doing is little. Don't assume that just because all you're doing is holding a sign on an overpass, or all you're doing is signing a petition, or all you're doing is working a phone bank for a patriot politician, that it's nothing. You don't know what your effect might be. You are the leader. You are the example. Most people are not going to step up. They're called sheeple, and I think that's a derogatory term. But the fact is, most people are not set up. They're not made to be bold. They're not made to be leaders. And that doesn't make them bad. But they've got to have someone to follow. Right now, the so-called leaders in Washington and your state capitals are not the people who are leading us in the right direction. So it means it's up to you. If you are bold, if you are an organizer, if you're good at numbers, if you're good at speaking, if you're good at anything, get out there and start doing it and start attracting other people. They will follow you if you're telling them the truth and leading them in the right direction. And that's what's going to win this. This is go for broke time, folks. The other side is doing everything they possibly can because they realize it's a race between them getting their way and us waking up. Quite frankly, they might win. They might very well win. But if we wake up in sufficient numbers and we take action, just 3% is more than enough. You know, if those of you who are familiar with the Old Testament might recall the story of Gideon, who had no military training, who was asked to go and fight by an angel of the Lord. And I don't want to get too religious here, but in the story, the angel kept telling him, no, you've got too many men. Send them home. You got too many men. Send them home. And the reason was because he wanted to show that the victory was the Lord's, all right? Now, taking religion out of this, those of you who are daunted by the fact that there's only a very small percentage of people who are activists must remember that it only takes a small, committed, angry, dedicated minority who is unwilling to ever give up to change things. That's what our founders proved at the American Revolution. That's unfortunately what the progressives have proved with their slow boiling of the frog over the last 100 plus years. And that's what we're going to prove in the next 5 years. This year is a goal line stand. Next year begins the race for the next election and for the presidency, where we're going to start to turn things back to what they're supposed to be. And if we can take it all back, you'll be astounded at how quickly liberty will restore the prosperity and decency that this country was meant to be. We've never lived up to it, but we've come closer than any other country on the face of the earth throughout all history. And I believe that we can be the American country, that ideal of liberty that inspires the entire world to a future that is better than any of us can imagine today. It's either that, or you sentence your children to live as slaves.
Yep.
And I want to go ahead and check to see if we're able to bring Althea back. Althea, you were able to come back to the line and see she's still on the line, but I didn't hear. So Althea, were you able to come back? Okay, I do still see in the queue, so we'll just put out there that, you know, even if we're talking, you're more than welcome to interrupt us, Althea, if you'd like to come back in. Cindy, we do got about, I'd say 10 minutes or so before we have to close things out. So we'll go ahead and bring it back to you, and we'll go from there.
Well, I just wanted to mention, thank you, Dan, because what you just said, I'm dittoing all that. Thank you so much. But I think that it would behoove everyone to find out There's a difference, as that man explained to me, the military guy explained to me yesterday. There's a difference between the police oath and the sheriff's oath and the military oath, okay? The military and the sheriff's oath is to uphold the Constitution first and protect the people and their rights. The police department's oath is to uphold the law, okay? It would behoove you to know if your sheriff department, if your elected sheriff of your county, is he an oath keeper? And if he's not, you might want to get all your people together and start pressuring him to sign the pledge. But anyway, and like I said this before, I have looked on different Facebook pages of different military people and some militia groups and all. And basically what they say is the people, the military men that are actually in the service now, they will not come out and tell you whether they're going to protect you when crap hits the fan. But what's going to happen is at the particular point where it is necessary for the people to be defended, and their rights to be defended on a large scale, that will separate the men from the boys. We will then have a separation. And this guy actually told me, one guy that I talked to, a vet, actually told me that if he was an active military, he wasn't, but he said if I was active military and someone had come and said, everybody activate, go pick up your weapons, and the colonel or whoever is going to tell you what your next job is, what our mission is. You go in there, you pick up your guns, get your ammunition and everything, and they're, okay, we're going to mobilize against this town because they refuse to give up their guns. At that point, that guy said, I will immediately shoot that sergeant or that colonel, whoever gave me that directive, and then I will shoot anybody else who tries to stop me from protecting the people. And so I'm like, okay, this is a great mindset if there's enough of them. But if he's the only guy willing to do that, we're in deep dog doo-doo. But basically, the oath is to protect us and our Constitution. You need to make sure in your particular local community that your sheriff is on board with that. And then you won't have any problem on your overpass rallies.
That's a good one, Cindy.
There we go. And definitely looking to see if there's going to be any other protests in the future or anything of that nature. But we'll ask what Paul Arnold has to say from the Make Them Listen when he comes on Wednesday night. But I do see we've got about, I'd say, not quite 10 minutes or so plus of the extended version. I know it has been a long weekend for everyone. I really appreciate you staying the amount of time that you came onto the show and also reporting about the events that you attended. And so we really appreciate that. And, of course, folks, share the link out to the archives, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or even emails, for that matter, for people to listen to it and also bring folks to the show for this Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern time when we have on Paul Arnold.
Thank you, Robert. It's been a great show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Jeff,
as always.
Looking forward. Go ahead,
hey,
Dan.
How's it going?
As
hey, I'm getting
always,
an update from my husband at Fort Sill. How's it
go
going
ahead.
Down there?
Oh, okay, good. Oh, you said your husband just came in?
He's
Holly?
Yeah.
Oh, well, would you like to say something?
10 or 15 or 20 on one side of the overpass and 10 or 15 or 20 on the other side of the overpass. All right, go ahead, babe. I got you on a radio show, but I'm talking back and forth.
Well, would he like to come on and say some words?
He said it looks like there's about 9 or 10 on the opposing side of the issue. Go ahead, babe.
Yeah, you can come on.
Okay. Okay, I'll be looking for it. All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye. Okay,
you must be on the phone.
Yeah, I was on my cell because I was getting worried because
like
nothing was being posted, and I was worried, so I wanted the update from Fort Sill. So it sounds like Fort Sill, Lawton, Oklahoma, that they have a really good group. It sounded to me like anywhere from 20 to 30. And he said it looked like there was about 9 or 10 on the opposite of the issue. So, and he will get back with me in a little bit.
Well,
so there's an update there.
We should give him the call number so you could call in. Go ahead, Dan. I hear you want to chime in. Go ahead.
One
he
very
can't
good
call
thing.
In now. So.
James had mentioned,
true.
James Neighbors, that he was concerned that there might be violence this weekend only because, with the protests, only because the other side, illegals who want to, you know, basically run things any way they feel like it and the heck with our laws, might cause some provocation. And then again, I my thought was that we might have a few in our ranks. There's always a few crazy people somewhere who might do something. So far, and I've been scouring the news reports, and there are tons of good news reports, good press, for this illegal protest. I have not seen one single news report yet, and it remains to be seen because the day isn't over yet and we have more going on tomorrow. I haven't seen one where there's even an arrest, even a fist fight, even a vandalism or defacing, nothing. Again, we prove that we are law-abiding, peaceful people, that
Amen.
No matter what the mainstream press would depict us as, no matter what the Homeland Security and Holder and Obama would call us as being domestic terrorists, we're the ones who show up at these events and leave it cleaner than when we showed up, when we got there. We're the ones who are polite and respectful to all. Somebody gives me the finger, I wave and smile at them. I won't dignify their nastiness by giving them the finger back, okay? And we keep proving this. And the great thing is, people are not listening to the mainstream media anymore. They're not paying attention anymore. They're getting their news from other sources on the Internet, and they're seeing it with their own eyes. Lie to me. Tell me that the unemployment rate is down when I know people who are unemployed, when my people in my family are unemployed. Lie to me. Tell me that things are going great and that all these illegals are a boon to our society when I go through any area of a city and I see the degradation, that unrestricted immigration, that illegal immigration brings. Tell me that Obamacare is working when people I know can't get coverage, when people I know have lost their coverage,
Amen.
When people are getting sick and not getting taken care of and they had it. Tell me all these lies and let my own eyes tell me the truth. They've gotten to a point now, folks, where they can lie all they want, and it's not going to convince people because they can see the truth with their own eyes. And when you go out there on an overpass, when you participate in a local township meeting or whatever it is, when you actually get out there and do something, your neighbors see this. And they may think you're a little crazy. They may say, oh, boy, why is he doing this? It's hopeless. It doesn't matter. What can I do? But if you keep doing it, and if you have five people one time and then it's 10 and then it's 12 and 15 – and then it's 20 and 30 and 40. Before you know it, your neighbors are not calling you crazy anymore, and they're thanking you for what you're doing. And maybe, even if they're not the leaders and the outspoken ones and the organizers, maybe they're willing to show up and go, you know, it looks like fun. These guys are doing a good job. I'm just going to show up and support them. Most of the places that I go, most of the people don't speak or do anything overt. They stand there. And their silent witness and their silent support is worth millions to me. The fact that somebody is willing to stand behind me, to stand behind James and Cindy and Robert and all the rest of the leaders out there, to stand behind Paul Arnold, who we're going to have as a guest on Wednesday, means millions to me, because those people are what make a movement. You know, if you get – some of us have been aware of this for a very long time, and we were out there and marching down the street with our signs and saying, hey, this has got to end, and nobody was following us. And it was very depressing to feel like Cassandra warning the Trojans about the Greeks bearing gifts and having everyone ignore them. But now you get out there and you find that there's five people behind you, and then next week it's 10 and 15 and 20 and 40, and that means that you are now a leader because people are following you. Don't denigrate those followers. Don't ask them to do more than they're capable of, but ask them to do everything that they can do.
Well said.
Yep.
Thank you.
And do ask them to do stuff. I mean, don't just, you know, throw up your hands and say, I'm all by myself. At least ask. They say no, they
well,
say
we're
no.
Not.
That's
actually,
right.
There was a, yeah, there was somebody who posted a comment to me on Facebook. I guess they're in Toledo or something of that nature. And he, you know, went up there, and unfortunately, I think no one may have showed up for that one. He said, oh, but only my uncle or somebody, a friend of his, was there. I said, well, is he there? And he said, yes. I said, well, then there is someone there. Everyone is important, and you're not alone, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I want to have some folks, you know, call into the show today, is to show that even though you may feel like you might be in your, you know, own isolated spot, every person is Dan, you know, you pointed out, and others said, of course, that everybody is important, everyone can make a difference. I mean, I remember back in 2012 when we were, you know, when Newt Gingrich was running, you know, I was in an area we're doing, you know, a Newt Across America or something of that nature, and I was kind of holding this side. This was after the Ohio primary, so it seems like once that happened, you know, a lot of the supporters, you know, just went elsewhere. But I was kind of a lone figure there, just holding the Newt Gingrich sign, you know, so, and I could see where people could feel isolated and alone with that, but rest assured that they're not, because there's tons of us out there who are with you.
Well, did you hear the lady from Houston? She had the YouTube sensation, or the one that went viral. She said, why can't we send them back? You know, I'm sorry they're having problems, you know, at their home, but we've got our own problem. I'm worried about what's going on right here. And I heard her say, if you guys heard her, she said, I feel alone. Am I the only one out here in my community seeing what's going on? She felt alone. And if for any, by chance she happens to hear this show, ma'am, you are not alone. We are with you.
Right. And I'm sure there's a lot more folks who feel the same way we do, but for one reason or another have been cowed to not say anything. You know, I wonder how many folks out there who want to get out and say anything but are afraid.
Yep, they're afraid. That's the problem. We've got to have courage. We're going to have... See, that's what I said, I don't know, a couple of Wednesdays ago I made that comment that even if we wake up and realize what's going on, I'm talking about the country as a whole, if the people finally see what's going on and wake up, we are not the same generation. We are not the greatest generation. We are not that generation in World War II time where the people had spirit. They had guts. They had courage. They had religious beliefs. They had morals. They had ethics. And so when the time came that their government needed them, or their people needed, their country needed them, they were there. I do not know that about this generation. This generation, I do not believe, will be with us, will not be for us.
They will.
Well,
the greatest
I believe they will, too.
I hope you guys are
the greatest
the
generation
right one.
Were actually people that, who were brought up in the 20s and in the 30s, okay? They were in a place and time with absolute massive corruption, with prohibition, with gangsterism, with corrupt politicians. They were in a place and time where there was a Great Depression and they had no hope, and yet they turned out to be the greatest generation of all. I don't think it's going to be us baby boomers. I think we're the ones who are going to hold the line and start waking up in sufficient numbers and putting our resources to bear and our experience to stop the statists. But I think the ones who are going to rebuild the country is my daughter's generation, the 20-somethings now, the teens, 20s, early 30s.
Yes.
These folks grew up with nothing but corruption, no great leaders, nobody to actually inspire them. And I think that's where the great leaders are going to come from. I think those folks are going to surprise us all and be Americans to the extent that they were during the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Second World War. They're going to be the ones who rebuild this country. Because
I actually saw something
country.
On that, Dan. I think they're calling themselves the Millennium or something generation. I
millennial
can't
generation.
Millennial, yeah.
Yeah,
and we'll have to.
Yeah.
And folks, I tell you what, I wish I could get more time on the show, but. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of it where I got to close things out. I apologize for that, but I'm sure we could go at least another hour, if not more, on our topic
thank
tonight.
Thank you
we
so much, Robert, for the opportunity.
This Wednesday. Oh, well, thank you very much for everyone for coming to the show. Know that it's definitely much appreciated here on Bard's Logic, Political Talk, the Grassroots We the People show. Say it is your show. The People Show. So we'll see you again on Wednesday. And so, gosh, it's not time to thank everybody tonight, so I'll just say, thank you all for contributing, not just today, but for all the times you call into the show, especially, of course, people call in regularly, yourself, Twitter, Holly, and, of course, our panelists here we have on the show as well. It's great to have you all. And so we'll close out tonight as I do every night, and that is with the song by Aubrey Ashburn. And please hear the song. It's a great unwinding, at least for me, from the exciting show. So, of course, you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. She's actually one of my first interviews as well, because I have had the opportunity. I was really excited about that, too. I've actually got the chance to interview the woman you're about to hear. So take care, folks. Have a great rest of the weekend, and good luck to everyone who is still out there protesting for the National Day of Protesting Against AMTI and Border Search. So take care, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Take care. God bless.
God bless America.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.